The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
It started
Wednesday.
A while ago.
Here at Gillette Stadium, wintry Wednesday. We woke up this morning. I had about 2 or 3 inches. I don't know about you guys. Fluffy.
Fred calls that morning wood.
Oh. Today you did?
Yeah.
You had some snow last night?
Yeah.
I didn't get in.
I had to shovel the deck.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should have.
I had some snow yesterday.
No. I had it overnight.
Yeah, we had some overnight.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting ready for the Miami Dolphins here. And Bill Belichick had his press conference today. Brady will have his in about half an hour on Patriots.com. Practice this morning. Nate Solder, not at practice today. The first practice he's ever missed.
And it might be not injury related, I would guess.
Okay.
I have seen nothing to indicate that he's injured, so I won't be surprised. They've had a lot of those guys, it feels like, the last 2 to 3 weeks. So
yep.
We'll wait for the 4 p.m. injury report.
And Gronk wasn't at practice, as expected.
He's not allowed to be. No. He's not on the team anymore.
I know.
As expected.
I know.
Right now, he's allowing the swelling to go down so he can have surgery.
Fred tweeted it out. Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Retweeted.
Well, I've decided to look on the bright side with Gronkowski. By the time he gets back, his forearm, hamstring, and back should be okay.
That is true.
You know?
Hopefully.
So,
well, provided that he doesn't do anything, you know, in the offseason.
Don't be mean.
He'll be ready to go once he comes back from the ACL.
Not being mean.
I have a serious question.
I'm serious?
The company, I know. The company MO has been basically, you know, we've been through this before. We've played a lot more games without him than with him. And we've been more without him than with him. Do you go to Gronk and say, listen, you're going to hear me spewing this line ad nauseum for the next week. We're going to make it seem like...
Yes.
Don't take this personal.
Right.
I would. Yeah. I personally would. Because if I were Gronk right now, it would hurt a little bit.
I would.
The sting.
I'd say, look, Gronk, we're going to be saying this stuff.
We're downplaying you for the betterment of the team that remains.
And I think I approve on both ends. I think they should go to Gronk, and I think they should publicly say that in the locker room. Forget about him.
I agree.
They can't keep thinking. They can't dwell on it.
I don't think they go to him and say it, personally.
They probably,
given our track record of lack of communication with players,
they probably don't.
And but, I would feel bad.
But I would. I would.
I would too.
Yeah. But I would also do what they're doing in the public statements.
Oh yeah. No question.
Yeah.
But if I were him and just heard this, you know, I'm clicking through and see the Bill Belichick press conference, it would hurt a little bit. It would sting.
I mean, if I was Bill Belichick, and I would tell my coaches, if you hear one guy complaining we don't have Gronk, squash it. Go up to him and say, "So what? What are you worried about? You know, you have to have that mentality. Mm-hmm. You can't dwell on that."
What did he say today? You can't pack the tent up and go home,
right?
Like I would have done in the third quarter on Sunday.
Guy gets hurt. What are you going to do?
So if you don't talk about it, it'll go away,
right? That'll make Matthew Mulligan better.
Mm-hmm. No, but you know what I mean.
I do. I have no problem with it. I just wondered if they would like talk to him about.
Do you think Gronk says, "You know, I played in 7 games. I only missed 6. Didn't play without me more than I played."
Well, Bill adds
it's all
in.
Hurt.
Bill got all.
Oh, the preseason counts now.
The spring, yeah. Preseason, yeah. Summer. Like he said it all. Like with like, that's ridiculous. It's been like a year since we. That was his tone. Okay. He had good Aqib Talib stuff today. If we're going to do a little mini press conference recap, somebody asked about him, and then I just followed up with a question about his. I asked if he brings a unique energy because he always seems to kind of be
right.
Kind of bouncing off the walls, have his own. And Bill went into this whole long-winded answer about he's respected and liked, and that's not all, you know, not all guys have that. There are some guys that are respected and some guys that are liked, but to do the double dip is impressive. And then he went down this whole thing, and he takes it seriously, and he goes, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was trying to describe a unique personality that he is, and,
right.
And we all see that. But in the middle, he goes, I don't even know what I'm saying.
You know,
because he probably doesn't understand half the stuff Talib is saying either. Just
true.
Like us.
But what would be interesting, and I think it's different, you know, Randy Moss was respected and liked, but not always for the right reasons. Not always for the reasons I think a coach would want.
Right. And I think that's what Bill was getting at. And I also think he really emphasized everybody. I'm not sure Randy Moss fit in with everybody. He said Talib
right.
is liked and respected by offensive linemen. You know, he fits in.
Right.
You know, we see it with him joking around with the DBs when they're just going at it crazy, you know, about the who's the best scorer in the NBA.
Early Randy Moss had that, you know. Hey, Oscar Lua, what's up, dog?
Yeah, he did change a little, I think. But I just, we've seen it, and, you know, a lot of the response I get on Twitter is, that's why we need to sign this guy right now. Because he is, you know, he has fit in so well, and he is that important. And then I got some people tweeting in, you know, big difference from when he was in Tampa, big change. So,
well,
I don't know where that stands in terms of how people want to.
And I don't know
him.
Where it would stand once he has his money guaranteed.
Right.
You know,
and then you have to also factor in the health.
Yeah. The offseason is a whole discussion that this team needs to have on a lot of different players. Well,
according to you, they need everything.
Well, I mean, look at it. You know, Edelman. What do you do with Edelman?
Sign him.
What do you do with Talib?
Sign him.
What do you do with Wilfork going down the road? You know,
cut him.
You
know, I don't know.
But I'm just saying, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Yep.
Right up to number 12. You know, how
cutting him?
What's your question with him?
How long do we go before we act aggressively on that position and look to the future? And that doesn't mean getting rid of him, but it means planning for it and having it ready to go.
Well, I think you're going down that road already.
You know,
the bigger question with that is what they think of not 12, but 15.
Yeah.
They might feel like, you know, in 2 years,
yeah.
Ryan Mallett's the quarterback.
Right? You might be right. Hmm. Yeah.
But how many guys have we done that to that they didn't feel the same way about? Yeah, you could replace him with him, and yeah.
Yeah, but not quarterback.
Well, obviously they haven't replaced the quarterback since 2001.
No, but we've been pretty. They've cut guys that we thought were cuttable.
And when you talking about quarterbacks?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
you know, Brian Hoyer was the greatest thing until we said they're probably going to cut him, and then they cut him.
But even if they felt like Brian Hoyer was worthy of being a starting quarterback, he was a worthy successor to Brady. Maybe the timing didn't work.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have cut him. If he was worthy successor to Brady, there's no way they simply would have cut him.
No, but they might think Mallett's better. That's what I'm saying. We don't know what they think of the guys that are involved.
They'll cut.
I don't think much of Mallett. You know that. You know how I feel about Mallett. I didn't think much of Hoyer either.
Well, the only thing I can say...
Hoyer's already accomplished more, and he's accomplished basically nothing. But he's already accomplished more than I thought he would as an NFL player.
From where Mallett was when he started to where we saw him this preseason, I think he's improved. Nowhere near to the point where, okay, you can definitely say he'd be the replacement here.
Yeah, no.
You know, he's got a long, but he has gotten better, which is at least something to be said. You know,
Mallett has?
Yeah. From what we saw in preseason, I think he had some.
He's
really
gotten
nice
better
stretches.
From what we saw. Well, based on what we saw in the preseason, he was better than last year. You're
yes.
Saying. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, how did he improve from the preseason to now?
No.
That's what Bill tells us.
From previous preseason. Yep.
All right, but I don't think we need to go down that
road.
No,
we don't. No,
I don't think that's a major. I don't think that's a major topic.
I think the bigger issue is how are we going to be good on offense and defense? Because I think both are in question.
Well, and that's the big thing. You know, a lot of people are talking about, well, they went 5-1 without Gronk, and I think people are forgetting the fact that defensively they played reasonably well earlier in the year, and they haven't lately.
Right. They had.
That's the big difference.
They had a healthy Dennard and a healthy Talib.
Healthy
and
Mayo.
A healthy Mayo.
To even
and
Tommy
I think
Kelly for a
that
stretch.
Is a huge, huge difference to where they are right now.
So,
yeah. So I think it's going to be a grind. I think that they're going to just have find ways and hope for a couple lucky breaks. And
okay, so give me some of those ways. Defensively, do you need to be more aggressive?
Can they play 13 to 6 games?
Who are they playing? This week?
Well, they're playing the Dolphins and the Ravens.
We're just
going
to talk about this week and not
the
playoffs?
I'm talking...
Oh, this week. Let's talk
this
about
week,
this week.
But also moving forward, kind of a combo.
Because they were very aggressive defensively against this team.
Yes.
The first time in October, especially in the second half when they fell behind.
Yep. I think
so. You want more blitzing. You want more stunts.
No, I think in this game, they'll probably do less. Knowing Belichick's MO, they'll probably drop more guys into coverage and try to do that, confuse the guy. That type of thing.
I don't know what the reason is, but I agree with your premise. I think they'll probably look at that and say, well, this is what we did the last time. They're going to be ready for some, right, unconventional blitzing, and we're not going to put that as a big part of our game plan unless maybe we get to a desperate situation.
Doesn't that seem like the MO for Belichick?
I don't know if he's going to try to confuse
him. He did both last time. The blitzing was more second half.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it was kind of an adjustment, and I remember I kind of gave credit to Matt Patricia. Maybe that was something he kind of came up with. Because Belichick hasn't done that hardly at all over his entirety of his career here. Blitzing has been a minor aspect of what this team has done, especially, a lot of corner blitzes and stuff like that. I think I'd be aggressive. I'll be honest with you. I think I'd be aggressive on both sides of the ball.
To help out the secondary or just because you think you can get,
aggressive.
Well, a little of both. I mean, this is a game, remember, where Bryant McKinney absolutely ate Chandler Jones for lunch. He had been with the team like 3 days,
right,
and he absolutely ate up Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones, I thought, really struggled last week against Joe Thomas. The reigning, I joked with Paul, the reigning November Defensive Player of the Month apparently has taken December off because I thought he was a non-factor in that
Joe
game.
Joe Thomas is pretty good,
He is pretty good, but so's the reigning Defensive Player of the Month, who's supposed to be developing into a player who's pretty good,
Yeah.
Right? And I think this team needs to lean on Chandler Jones. They need to lean on the guys that are still out there to make some damn plays and be a difference.
Yeah, that's one of my big points for this week. They got to find a way to get some pressure. And this is a team that's given up more sacks than anybody. And
what have they done the last 3 games or 4 games, Miami, in terms of giving up sacks? Have they improved?
They give up a lot of sacks. I don't know exactly how many they've given up every game. But I think it's 46 sacks they've allowed or something like that.
Something like that. It's a big number.
Chandler Jones has been quiet lately. I think that they need to get him and Ninkovic need to get there. And I do like the idea of being more aggressive because I always like that way of playing defense. I think that you force the other team to execute under duress, and I think that's harder to do. Now, I don't necessarily want to do that against Tom Brady if I'm playing against him, or Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, the guys that can handle it, but I'll do it to Ryan Tannehill.
If your goal is to be more aggressive, do you put Fletcher in more because of his speed to make things up when things go wrong? Because you're going to get caught a couple times
over
with
who?
Your pants down. Over Hightower.
No.
No?
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Because you're going to get caught a couple times with your pants down. You're going to need to pursue. So
they also could get a break, and I don't know. I haven't looked at the papers this week in Miami, but Lamar Miller, who's a pretty versatile back, can do some different things. He hurt them a little bit in the first game. He had a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't play and it's all Daniel Thomas, even though Thomas played well last week, he had, I think, a career high in yards, or the most yards he's had in the game since the very first game he played. He's not the same kind of back. He's a bigger, plodding kind of back that is not going to make you get, pay for something like that with a slip out of the backfield and outrun people.
If you look at and Andy, you were a linebacker, so maybe you can correct me
Scrape
if I'm wrong.
To see.
If you look at an aggressive defense holistically, when you call that, when you flip that switch, the defense shifts towards the line of scrimmage. In other words, things have to happen fast. So from the secondary toward the line of scrimmage, things start to move up because you're going to guess that our pressure is going to make him get the ball out of his hands quicker, and he's not going to be able to get it downfield. So everything moves up and it squashes toward the line of scrimmage. If you don't get that pressure, that's when a receiver gets behind you and you get burned.
I don't know that that's necessarily
true.
I mean, you can blitz and play zone behind it. You can do a variety of different things. I think you're kind of oversimplifying it. And the blitz can be a corner blitz. It can be, you can do a variety of things. It's not all necessarily a 6-7 man blitz where you're just selling out and saying, I got to get that.
But overall, whenever you get aggressive, you're taking a risk because if that aggressive and it doesn't pay off, well, now you're screwed because you've got one less guy back there covering.
Essentially, yes.
You
know?
Well, yeah. And you're also putting guys in one-on-one matchups. And to Andy's point, we've seen Denver do a ton of this year. When they know they're locked up one-on-one on the outside and the blitz is coming, that's a good time to go downfield.
Right.
Because you take a three-step drop, you throw it 30 yards, and let the guy run under it.
Right.
And you don't have to necessarily have everything squashed to the line of scrimmage. You can be susceptible to big plays. And I think Hartline and Wallace,
they can do that.
They can do that.
I would just be more aggressive in general, both sides of the ball. I'd be taking more shots down the field on offense because I think, you know, the inclination is going to be, okay, we got Amendola, we got Vereen, it's going to be dink and dunk, it's going to be short stuff middle. And that's going to be a big part of your offense, but I would be taking more shots, whether it's Dobson, Tompkins or Boyce. Yeah, I think they should be more aggressive.
Back to the defense. How do you work the defensive line for the Patriots? Who's your personnel most of the time out there? Are you back to Villano and Chris Jones, or Saliga?
Well, I think they're going to try to run the ball. Miami will try to run the ball some. So I think Saliga has, for whatever reason, found his way into the rotation of the mix up front. And those two guys, you're not going to win if you play those guys all the time. I'm not saying Saliga's like this great answer, but if you have Jones and Villano on the field, you're going to get worn down. You're going to be regretting it, I think. So how those reps unfold specifically, you know, obviously there's a lot of personnel back and forth and what they do, but I think the Dolphins are going to try to run the football with Daniel Thomas.
You know, I worry about spikes, too, because even last game, there were a couple plays where straight ahead he was okay, but, man, when he had a run in the open field or shift left to right, he just couldn't do
it. He's hurt.
You know,
they're all hurt.
He's really hurting. Yeah. So
we've played more games without Brandon Spikes over the years than with him.
Okay.
No, he's still active.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that for everybody.
We only use that for guys that aren't active.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PASS-500 is the
telephone number.
I want to read this one email. It's very interesting. This comes from Colin.
Colin.
He says, I'm a doctoral student at MIT and a Patriots fan, and I thought you might be interested in my research.
Doctoral student at MIT.
At MIT.
Okay.
I'm completing my doctoral dissertation in chaos theory, and it involves football. I'm creating a program that uses a complex algorithm to track injuries in the NFL. Using 26 years of injury report data, player histories, NFL offense and defensive styles, roster statistics and measurables, schedules, stadium specifics, and a host of other factors, the algorithm can predict with increasing statistical accuracy the likely roster in the future. What are the historical chances that certain players will remain healthy? I'm doing my research in collaboration with a sports medicine researcher from Boston University. As the season goes on, the statistical validity of the data increases. And for the Patriots, after the Browns game, the validity is 71.43%. So with significant accuracy, I can predict the likely roster for the Patriots if they advance to the Super Bowl. As research, this is very interesting, but I am hoping to someday patent the program and then sell it to gamblers in Vegas. The program can also predict likely injury report notations given past history and coaching styles. So if you're interested, here are the likely starting offenses and defenses for the Patriots in Super Bowl 48. Ready? Nate Solder, no injuries. Marcus Cannon will have both ankles and a neck. Ryan Wendell will have an eye and a knee. Dan Connolly will have no injuries.
Okay, can we stop then?
It gets funny.
Oh, okay.
This is all a joke, Paul.
No, I know that, but it's kind of not funny.
Logan Mankins has a severed head, both knees fused, still active through pure concentrated meanness. Danny Amendola has a groin, which is good news because the groin is reattached with time. The bad news, it reattached to Kenbrell Tompkins' hamstring. Paul just left, so I don't even know why I'm continuing. He just gets up and walks out. Oh, he's back. He had to get another Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, you were reading your email.
Deion Branch is on the roster with decomposing body parts. Kevin Falk has arrived 5 minutes before the game because the JetBlue flight was late. Bill Fredrickson is the fullback, but he's in seat 12, row 2, section A with nachos. And Tom Brady has had his pride removed. On defense, Aqib Talib has a hip, groin, and mouth. Dennard has injury to the shoulder, neck, brain, and ankle, but that's a bracelet. Steve Gregory has injury to 8 fingers, 2 thumbs, and 12 toes. Dante Hightower has had his speed removed, and you kind of get it. Anyway, he's not actually an MIT student. It's Colin from Belgium.
I got the fact that it was tongue-in-cheek right off the top.
Oh.
He was talking about all this stuff.
Okay.
Maybe trying to get me to be like, you know, the literal guy, not getting the sarcasm again.
Well, maybe. Okay. It's been, you've done that before.
I have done that before. Yeah. Not really, but that's okay.
Okay, anyway, I just thought I'd start out with a levity. It didn't work out that
well. The narrative.
Didn't work out that well. How about those Cowboys?
What about the Cowboys?
I don't know. I just saw the guy on fan
Cowboys cam.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone, shall we? Andy
had to the phone.
Andy had to leave because he's interviewing Matt Slater for the PFW show.
Hopefully somebody else.
I'm actually going to the Celtics game. I have to do a hit.
Yes, we should promote that a little bit. Tune into the Celtics tonight. Big game, first of all. They're playing the Clippers. Doc Rivers coming back.
Yep.
First appearance back against the Celtics.
Yep.
And at some point, Fred will be promoting.
I think it's 7:05.
The Patriots Football Weekly television show as part of the Comcast Sportsnet football block on Thursday nights, football Thursdays.
Yep.
And Fred will be a guest of Abby Chin, who is the sideline reporter.
I think that's like 7:05.
Is it Chin or Chin?
Chin.
Chin, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right.
Kevin gave me a funny look when I said Chin.
So that'll be on.
I'm pretty sure that ain't right.
That'll be on the Comcast Sports Network tonight. All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Network. And Al the Mailman is on the line. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. You know, I stayed home from work for 3 days now.
Well, you're a mailman, so that's what you guys do, right?
But, so I get paid for it. But I went to the doctor this morning. First thing he asked me, he said, are you a Patriots fan? And I said, yes. He said, I have bronchitis.
Oh.
I tell you, they're out there. They're out there
but
today.
He said a Miami win this Sunday will make me feel better. You know, hey, guys, you know, I'm a positive Patriots fan. And I just say this. It's a tribute to Brady and Belichick that this team is 10-3 and on a way to win a division. And you know what? That's a tribute to the greatness of Brady and Belichick. And if you look at one game at a time, and that's what I do, everyone's going to feel better. If we win the Dolphin game, everyone's going to feel 100% better. I know Gronk is a big part of the offense, but I really do believe that the Pats are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, why not?
All right, so why do you believe that?
Well, because Brady and Belichick,
okay.
You know, they make their adjustments from week to week. And because of that, I feel if they go week to week, I mean, look what they did with the Broncos, with the Saints. You know, there's magic in the air this year.
Okay. And no, that's kind of why I think they're going to win on Sunday. So I'm not making fun of you at all, Al. I just think that sometimes that you have one of those special years and certain things fall your way and you're able to ride that. I hear what you're saying. I totally hear what you're saying.
Now we'll take the best team that they say is the Broncos. When you look at the Broncos defense, a defense is not going to beat them. Someone with a good offense who can put up points is going to be able to beat the Broncos. And why not Belichick and Brady? I mean, after all,
because they don't have a good offense right now.
Excuse me?
Because I'm not sure they have a good offense right now.
Well, you know what? If you take it one game at a time, Brady against Manning, we know what's going to happen, or I know what I believe and hope that's going to happen. And the Bronco fans are a lot more leery of Brady than we are of Manning.
Yeah, but that doesn't really mean anything what the fans think.
Right. But
what do the players think?
You understand what I'm saying.
To me and Al, it matters.
What I'm saying, Al, is do you feel like the Patriots can score 34 again?
I feel as though someone's going to step up.
Okay.
See, I do. I do. I think that, you know, Gronk is gone. Before Gronk was gone, but he was coming back. Now he's gone. So now,
I don't know how you portray that as a positive.
But now, I think that you can still have a good offense. I think you still have guys on this offense that can make plays and score points. And I still think they could be a 30-point team.
Well, I do feel that they're going to go more towards a vertical passing game and throw the ball down the field more than what they've done before.
They could.
Yeah.
That's what Andy was saying. That's what Andy wants.
I think they should take their shots. I don't think they're going to become Joe Flacco and the Ravens. I don't think they. I don't know. I don't think they should do that. These receivers aren't strong enough yet. I don't think.
I don't think the quarterback's good enough to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's his strength. I think his strength is Vereen underneath. Yeah, and Edelman underneath. And
I think Brady's
accuracy.
Brady's strength is you know, looking for the matchups and getting the ball out of his hand and, you know, that sprinkler offense and just getting rid of it and moving down the field methodically. I don't think he's a chunk play type of guy. Now, he's done it. I mean, he did it last game with that pass to Vereen, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah, he can do it. Yeah, if that's.
But I don't think on a consistent basis that, you know, all of a sudden you become a vertical offense. That's, to me, too much of a dramatic change.
Right. So, okay, listen, thank you, guys.
Thanks,
all right.
Al. See, there's another one who doesn't think the season's over, Fred. I'm still looking for those guys that think that we should not even bother playing the rest of the year.
Well, my pep talk changed things. That's why. That's what happened yesterday.
You know, you and Matt Smith, you know, in charge of Kraft Sports Productions.
I changed.
I'm looking for all these people that don't think that we should bother playing the rest of the season.
Well, I won here.
Kevin Collins raising his hand. He doesn't think we should play the rest of the season. Maybe you should have a little pep talk with him.
Frank in Winnipeg's on
the
line.
I am picking the Patriots to win on Thursday. I told you that yesterday.
Yeah, that's it. Frank,
do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No, Fred. I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to win the Super
Winnipeg.
Bowl. But I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl before Gronk got hurt.
Right. In 2001, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Frank
right.
in Winnipeg.
First time caller here, Paul and Fred. I just want to thank you for all the good work you've done. A lot of entertainment value there. And I've got a couple of points to make.
Well, first, thanks for calling in, Frank. I appreciate it.
Yeah, first point is on the offense. I think that the style of offense that they've had over the last few years is absolutely just the absolute recipe to get guys blown up in the center of the field. You know, you could see how Welker wore down over the years and you know, feeding the ball to Gronk in the middle of the field and run. I think we've got to have an offense that expresses more of an emphasis towards the edges of the field. And get some wide receivers out there, and I know that the guy from one of the Carolinas, he's always pushing for a wide receiver. But I think it's from an injury point of view that I'm looking
Eldridge.
At it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. That's an interesting point, and I do think they need to get better on the outside. But I think they've made a big step toward that. I think the two guys they have this year that are learning in Dobson and Tompkins are going to be good players. I don't think that either one of them is going to be a star. But I do think there are two guys that can be those kind of productive outside-the-number receivers that you're talking about. And they're young, and receivers don't generally come in and light the world on fire in year one. And I think their production has just been okay. I don't think it's been anything special. But I think that they have a chance to be good players, and I think Fred probably agrees with that. But it's an interesting point you make, Frank, is, you know, for as much as they've tried to get away from that, right. reliance on the middle of the field, they're still a middle of the field team with Edelman, Amendola, Vereen, and Gronkowski, and obviously now Gronkowski's out of the mix. The predominance of their passing yardage is coming in between the hashes.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they haven't for a while had a receiver who can just
in between the numbers, I should say.
Yeah, who can just win a one-on-one matchup, and so they rely a lot on in cuts, crossing routes, you know. For lack of a better word, pick plays.
But everybody does that.
To try to get guys open.
That's a big part of the passing game in the NFL.
You know, and, you know, there's obviously more room in the middle of the field. But the bad part of that is also there's more defenders there. So you get guys lining people up in the middle of the field, whereas you get more of the one-on-one outside.
And the other point I want to make before I get off is that I don't know, when I watch the Patriots, they seem to be a lovely team, and I enjoy watching them. I enjoy the precision. It's fantastic to see a well-coached team play, but I just feel that we're playing with the guys who are less physical. You know, we don't have, like, you know, Fikes is a physical guy. You know, it seems I get the feeling that we're playing with the, you know, like men who aren't fully mature, you know what I mean? Like, they're smart, and they know what the play is, and they know what the count is, and they know what their assignment is, but they're not tough enough.
You don't think the Patriots are physical?
Well, not, I don't know, compared to say, like Steelers. Steelers are having an off year, but, you know, when they play, I feel that you're always going to gain 11 athletes at a time, real athletes. And yeah. I can see on, if you just take a look at our offense, for example, how many, like, you take a look at Amendola, you know, some of these guys aren't great athletes. I mean, they're great, they're okay football players. They do their job and they know their job, but, you know, it's a long year, and they can easily get worn down by just the brutality and the physicality of the game.
Well, I mean, that's another interesting point, but I would say that...
Thanks, Frank.
Among the best athletes that the Patriots have ever had is Gronk. I mean, he's a physical specimen, and he has athleticism in spades. I mean, he is an incredible athlete, and, you know, he hasn't been able to hold up, you know, the last couple of years with the... So I'm not sure that I think the Patriots could be more talented. You and I argue about this all the time, Fred. I think that a lot of their weaknesses are often masked by the brilliance of Belichick and Brady. And I don't think they're quite as talented as maybe some of the other teams that they routinely beat, by the way. I think there's an argument to be made that Cleveland may have had just as much talent, flat-out talent, on the field Sunday as they did.
Yeah, individual talent, sure.
You know, but I think that the quarterback and the coach sort of put you over the top a little bit. But I'm not sure that it's necessarily an athlete kind of thing. I mean, I we might be talking about the same thing.
Well, you take Mike Wallace from the Dolphins. There's no doubt he's an amazing athlete.
And the Patriots don't seem to be interested in a guy like that.
But if Mike Wallace caught as many balls over the middle as Rob Gronkowski, he'd get hurt too.
Well, as Rob Gronkowski, yes, but he catches a lot of deep in cuts.
He does, but it's not like, you know, all
he
of
did,
Gronkowski.
He certainly did in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, all of Gronkowski seemed to be there.
But you're comparing a wide receiver
saying,
and a tight end.
Anybody in the NFL that you expose to that much in the middle is going to get hurt. I don't care how good an athlete they are. It's just a matter of time, because that's just the NFL.
But I do think it's interesting, like the first point that he brought up about the reliance on that middle of the field. And you wonder, you know, because, you know, you can't do anything. You can't scheme, you know, if you're going to run like a 15-yard out to try to get a first down, it's not really, you're not scheming it up. You got to run a route. You know, you're not picking anybody on the outside. You got to beat them. And I wonder if they do that consistently enough.
No.
And, you know, it'll be interesting. Hopefully we can get Dobson and Tompkins back on the field, because they're going to need them. They're going to need one of those guys anyway.
Yep.
You know, to,
definitely.
In order for that offense to yep. sort of be complete.
Bill's in Beaver Creek. He says, I know Fred likes to read emails that are sent during the show, but it tends to get a little busy here during ski season, and I don't always have time to go live with regards to the show. Hopefully you'll make an exception for a long-time listener. I am.
Always, Bill. Always for you.
I've been listening to all the talk about how many fans are cashing it in on this season with the loss of Gronk. On the other side of the argument, I've heard people rationalizing that we did it in 01 without Gronk or with the team of nobodies. Well, first of all, if we follow Belichick's way, then the 01 season has nothing to do with this season, much like last season means nothing during this season. When minicamp started, I, along with most of the Patriots fans, expected the Patriots to rape and pillage the rest of the league, then go on and win the Super Bowl. We expected great things from this team, as we do every year. However, as the year went on and our team was decimated by injuries, I no longer expect them to go to and win the big dance. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. They've done it before. I just don't expect it as much as I did at the start of the year. Our defense is running on fumes. Our offense is week to week, even quarter to quarter. Unfortunately, we have lost several of our horses to injury. Plain and simple, we are not as dangerous a team as we were in September. That being said, as a longtime Patriots fan, I don't expect to hoist another Lombardi this year. That doesn't mean I won't watch the rest of the games or throw in the towel. This is my team and has been for a long time. We were once 1-15. As long as we are not there again, it's been a relatively good year.
What do you say to an email like that, Fred?
I think he's on the fence. No, I think that's where most fans stand right now.
No, but how do you feel about it? Are you mad at him?
No.
Okay, so why are you mad at me?
Well, you never...
But he pretty much articulated everything that I think.
Yeah, but at the beginning of the season, he said that he expected them to win. Never did.
Okay, that there is a slight difference. He thought more of them at the beginning of the season than I did.
Yeah, so now that they're 10-3 with all these injuries, don't you have to go back and say, you know what, they were better than I thought they were at the end of the season? Don't you have to say
what?
That? If this team...
No, I think that they continue to win games on you know, sheer guts and guile.
You don't think that...
I don't think it's an overly talented
team. You don't think
team.
This team, as comprised at the start of the season, was maybe a little better than you gave them credit for?
What did I pick them to go with the start of the season?
12-4, first round out in the playoffs.
Right. So why, I mean, like, so I don't understand what you think I thought of them.
You don't think that this team, if healthy, could have gone further than the first round of the playoffs?
I think they were going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, they're going to do that anyway, to you.
Now they're going
to
do that
according
anyway.
According to you.
That's what I think.
Right. According to you, they're going to be out the first round of the playoffs right now.
And that's what I thought going into the season.
So they're no better in the beginning of the season than they are now?
I think they have less of a chance to win now than they did because of Gronkowski.
They're going to do the exact same thing you said they were going to do in the beginning of the season.
Right. What's the inconsistency of that?
You're saying
their chances are less now than they were then.
No.
According to me.
According to you, they're the same.
No, they're not.
You just said it. You said they're going to be first round out in the playoffs at the beginning of the season when they were healthy, and they're going to be the same now.
Did you ever go into a game thinking they have no chance to win?
Did you not say that?
I'm explaining to you the difference. I think their chances of winning that game are less now than they were with Gronkowski.
But they're still going to do the same thing.
That's what I think.
Right.
So there's no change.
So they're no worse or better now than they were at the beginning of the season because the result's going to be the same.
If you want to look at it that way,
that's
fine.
Well, that's what you said.
No, it's not what I said. I just said I think that their chances of winning are less without Gronkowski.
But at the beginning of the season, they were going to be one and done in the playoffs.
That's what I felt.
And now they're going to be one and done in the playoffs.
Right. And I think that their chances of winning with Gronkowski were better just because I thought they were going to lose.
Now, having seen what they've done with less players.
What exactly have they done?
Don't you go back and say, you know
what? Explain to me what they have done.
They were probably better.
With all these great wins over Cleveland and Houston.
They were probably better than
I thought they were. What have they done? Explain to me what they've done.
They're 10-3.
Okay, so that's all you want to say?
They've won 10 games.
That's all you want to say. You don't want to analyze it. So, in other words, they have the record I said they were going to have, but I don't think they're going to win in the playoffs. And I'm now supposed to light candles for them because they actually have the record that I said they were going
to
have?
All I want you to do is say, you know what, maybe they were better than I thought they were.
I actually think they're worse than I thought because I thought the offense would be better without Gronkowski.
Right.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. Why did they win those games?
I think we all know, Fred.
The defense played
when
well.
When you win 10 games in the last play of the game, I mean, that's what happens.
Maybe the defense was a little better earlier than you thought they were going to be. I don't know.
I was wrong.
But there's some reason
why... The defense wasn't better than I thought it was going to be. The offense was worse than I thought it was going to be.
You know, so I think that either you're misjudging the league or you know, there's some teams that...
Fred, again, I don't know where my misjudging was with the offense. I thought the offense would be more productive without Gronkowski in the first six games.
But they were still 5-1 without him.
And I picked them to win the games.
They were still 5-1.
So I don't understand what I misjudged. They won the games I thought they would win. They just didn't win them as easy as I thought they would win. So if you're asking me how I feel worse. I thought they would blow Houston out. I thought they would blow Cleveland out.
I think realistically, if you go back to the beginning of the season, you would have to reassess your prediction.
I don't understand
that. Because they're better than you
thought
they
were. If I'm going to reassess, it's going to be a lower assessment, Fred, not a higher one.
Well,
I thought they would win these games. I didn't think they would need a field goal with no time left to beat Buffalo.
They were decimated.
I didn't think they would win 13-10 over the Jets at home.
They were
I thought they would blow those teams out. Those teams can't play.
Well, unless you're Nostradamus, no one really knows
those
how they're going to win.
Those teams can't play. They stink.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, they were decimated with injuries, and they have this exact same result you thought they were going to have at the beginning of the season.
But they haven't done it as well as I thought they were going to do.
It doesn't matter how they do it, Paul.
Yes, it does. If I'm analyzing it.
Now you're like Felger with the style points. Well, you're unbelievable.
First of all, Felger's the exact opposite. Felger thinks they're going to the Super Bowl.
Well,
so don't say I'm like Felger.
Now he is.
He's been saying it all year.
Yeah.
All season long, he's been saying this team's going to the Super Bowl.
It's not about style points.
It's not about style points.
It's about the end
result. You're asking me to evaluate what I thought at the beginning of the year.
Right.
I think
reevaluate.
And I think less than I thought at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries, they're not as good talent-wise as I thought they were. Those guys are gone. I don't know how you cannot see that. No Wilfork, no Mayo. Right. I didn't see that at the beginning of the year.
And yet they still
no Gronk. I thought these guys would be part of the package.
Right. And
so if you're asking me to reevaluate, I'm going to lower my evaluation.
Okay. So let me,
I was wrong. I thought more of them.
Let me put it another way. If Gronk was healthy and Wilfork was healthy and Mayo was healthy, would you still say they'd be one and done in the playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, see, now you're nuts.
That's what I said at the beginning of the season.
I know, and then you're wrong. You were wrong.
Why?
Wrong.
Why was I wrong?
Because they're going to be one and done with, if according to you, without them.
But Fred, I thought they were going to be one and done. I didn't think this was a very well-rounded team.
But it turns out they were pretty good.
No, it hasn't turned that out yet. Now, if they go and win the Super Bowl, or they go to the Super Bowl and lose, then I was wrong.
All right. I think that
they've won games that I thought they would win. I don't understand how that makes me wrong.
Yeah, I think that if they were all healthy right now, you know, we'd be
they'd be 10-3.
Yeah, but we'd also be have a lot. You're saying you wouldn't have any higher hopes for the playoffs for them in the playoffs?
I would give them a better chance to win that first round game than I give them now.
But you still think
they lose?
Yes. So what's the difference?
Whatever difference you want to make it, I don't know.
You're being very, very stubborn.
There's no stubbornness.
You're a stubborn man.
And I don't
Paul
even know
Perillo.
Who they're playing in the first round, by the way.
It doesn't.
It depends. Yeah. Yes, it does depend to me.
Well, you're a very stubborn. They're not going to play Denver.
No, but what if they play Kansas City?
At home?
Here? Am I allowed to feel differently about playing Kansas City as opposed to Indianapolis? Can I feel differently about playing those?
Absolutely.
I don't think they'll lose to Indianapolis at home.
So then they may not be one and done in the playoffs.
I told you it depends on who they play.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, as long as you get to change it, depending
I don't
on,
get
know.
To change it, Fred.
Well,
I need to find out who they're playing before I can...
Your prediction was one and done. Your prediction wasn't depending on who they play.
This is unbelievable. You are changing the bar. You're the one that's moving
very,
the bar.
You're very, very stubborn, Paul Perillo. You're a stubborn, stubborn
man. I mean, you try to start these things, and I want to help you. I want to help you out here. I want to go with you, but you keep changing the question.
Jason's in Georgia. Hey,
you can't pick them to go 12-4 and then give them a ball washing when they go 12-4.
Hey, Jason,
you can't do that.
Under these circumstances, I certainly can.
Fred,
and I think
you don't even believe your own crap now.
Jason, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I was doing great up until the last 5 minutes, Jason. Now Fred's got me all worked up.
Jason,
he's got me all wound up, man. Help me out.
I'm still confused. I'm getting it that Fred thinks that
they're going to lose in the first round. You get that? He said it several times.
Yeah, I never said that. I said according to you.
He said it several times, didn't he, Jason?
No. You said at the beginning of the season that they're going to lose in the first round.
Who said that?
Fred.
I said that?
No, Paul, my bad. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
But he won't allow me. He won't allow me to actually wait to see who they actually play.
Okay.
And have the ability to reevaluate.
I'm going to wait until the Super Bowl to see if they win.
No, that's your thing.
Paul, you said from the beginning of the season that they were going to get kicked from the first round. Decide either from whatever team they play.
No, I didn't say whoever they play.
Oh, yes, you did.
No,
Paul.
I didn't.
Oh, come on. Come on.
But yes, Jason, you are correct.
Right, anyway.
Jason, you are right. Go ahead.
And Fred is saying compared to now, what we've seen of what the Patriots have done and what they could have been with our defense healthy and some of our key players still there, he's saying that we would have been way better off.
Right. I don't see the defense thing that Fred sees. That's our philosophical difference here is Fred thinks when they held the New York Jets to 10 points or 10 points in week two that was good defense. I don't.
No, we're talking about like holding Atlanta and their offense.
Yeah, holding Atlanta to 23 is not a huge accomplishment this year
to me. Yeah, but holding out or stopping a touchdown pass in an end zone that would typically give up.
Great.
That's what every other team
Paul
in the league did this
like
year.
Paul doesn't like to give credit to the Patriots.
No,
I mean,
to me, that's what every other team did this year.
All right.
Fred's the one who taught me not to evaluate beforehand, but to wait till after.
Okay.
Well, Atlanta has 3 wins. They haven't been able to score against anybody.
Yeah.
So you guys can agree to disagree on both terms.
Yeah. In terms of the Patriots' defense when healthy, Fred thinks it was really good.
I don't know.
I think they played against bad teams.
I think the defense would be better now if everyone's healthy. I'm just crazy. I'm a nut. I'm just a nutty
Jason,
Homer
that's exactly what Fred does.
I'm a nutty
He takes
fan.
Something I said I didn't think they were as good as Fred thinks he is, and now he says that I said it wouldn't be better than it is now. Those two things are not the same. I didn't say it wouldn't be better if Mayo and Wilfork were healthy. I didn't say that. You said it. Not me.
Oh, my God.
Of course they would be better with those guys. I don't think they would be good enough to win with them.
You just don't think they were ever any good.
I don't think they were as good as you think they were.
Okay.
That's the difference. And I think they played against bad offenses and shut them down. Now they're playing against bad offenses and they can't shut them down because they're missing guys that are good. That's the difference.
All right.
I don't think they would have had a prayer of stopping a good offense with or without those guys.
Then what about the Saints?
27 points isn't stopping them.
Yeah, excluding the time management, you're telling me with
27 points isn't stopping them.
Yeah, but 27
at
points
home,
is
by the way,
than what we typically give up in like 30 points.
No, it's not. Shootout. They don't average 30 points allowed.
Last year that we didn't allow
they
like
were actually pretty good.
No, they were ninth, eighth, or ninth in the league in points allowed.
I think it was like 23 or something like that. But.
My bad.
Yeah, and it's not, Jason, I'm yelling at Fred, not you, just so you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Because he's putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that they wouldn't be better if all the guys weren't hurt. Of course they'd be better. I just didn't think they were as good as Fred did when they were healthy. That's the only difference of opinion we have.
All right.
I think they were a lot better than they are now.
Of course they were. But you keep saying that I said they weren't.
And that gives them better chances in the playoffs.
That's what I said.
And beyond one and done.
But that's what I said. They'd have a better chance of winning in the playoffs if everybody was healthy.
Yeah. But you still don't think they would.
So why does that make me a bad person?
I just don't think you give them enough credit. I just think.
Again, I don't really care what you think I'm giving them credit for.
I would love to see you reborn and have the same career for another team to see if you would.
Did I sit there and pick apart every win they had in 2007?
To see how hard you would be on that other team.
Or did I sit there and say in 2009,
no,
I don't think this is
like
a very good team.
You like the style points.
Oh, so they weren't better?
You like the style.
So were they better or not?
The offense certainly was.
The defense wasn't better in 2007 than it is now?
If it was healthy now, it would be better than it was in 07. If it was healthy. Right now it isn't, obviously.
In 2007, was the defense better than it is now?
Right at this moment in time?
Any moment in time you want since 2007.
I think if this was a healthy...
The defense in 2007 was better than any defense it's had since. Healthy or not healthy.
If this was a healthy defense, by this time of the year, it would have been better than 07. I absolutely think so.
Well, maybe we can play Fantasyland, but the defense that played in September was not better than 2007.
We'll never know. But I think that this, on paper, would have been a better defense
on paper,
than
maybe, but not in talent.
We don't know. We have no way of knowing.
Why? I saw them play in September when they were healthy.
This isn't the defense that they had.
I saw them play in September when they were healthy.
Yeah, and they don't get better.
And the point was it had nothing to do with style points. It was that they were better than the other team, routinely.
Yeah.
They didn't need 12
points. Back then you were saying the offense hides the deficiencies of the defense. Did you not say that?
I absolutely said.
Okay, then stick with it.
But why does that?
Now you're saying 07 is the best defense ever.
This is what you do. You lie. You just make crap up.
You know, that defense was not good, and we both agreed.
It wasn't that good. It was better than this one.
The defense was going downhill since 06.
Absolutely.
And
it was better than this
and
one.
This was the first year it was on the rise.
Okay.
It was on the rise.
The only thing that we disagree on, Fred, is how good you think the defense was in September. That's the only thing that we disagree on.
It's the best it's been since 06.
06's defense stunk. 07 was much better than 06.
I'm saying it was the best since 06.
There's a lot of guys hurt in 06.
It was the best since 06. So.
Well, 07 was better than 06, but that's okay.
That's fine, but this would have been better had they stayed healthy.
That's your opinion.
It's not mine. It is my opinion.
Dante Hightower, for all, you know, the fact that he can't run from here to there without screwing up.
He had a good game.
Adalys Thomas was better his first year here.
He had a good game last week.
Teddy Bruschi was better than Brandon Spikes. Yeah. Rodney Harrison was better than Devin McCourty. Richard Seymour was better than Joe Valano. I mean, just every guy on the up and down the line, they were better in 07.
Yeah, they weren't that good. And you said it then. You said it then.
I didn't think they were that good. That tells you what I think of this defense,
right,
Fred.
Yeah, you said it then that the
offense is
covering up.
I'm not going back on anything I said about the 07 defense. Listen to what I think about the 13 defense. It's not very good.
It would have been. Right now, it's absolutely struggling. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
It must just be nice to just say, well, it would have been.
Well, I think we saw
it. We don't have anything to base it on. We're just going to say it wouldn't have been.
I think those of
us. There's our argument. Wouldn't have been.
I think the objective observers think that. Tyler from
Georgia. Let me know when you find one.
Tyler with Georgia writes in, while I don't want to completely give up on the season and even any chance of making it, possibly winning the Super Bowl with the loss.
Where's Andy? I need Andy back.
I was a little shocked by the level of optimism of many callers, emailers yesterday.
Everybody wants to give up on the season.
Upon further contemplation of this optimism, because I have that kind of time, it dawned on me as to what was going on. Fans are going through the various stages of grief.
Exactly.
Starting with, of course, denial. As fans transition into the subsequent stages, prepare yourself for the angry emails in addition to those normally directed at Eric very soon. That somewhat negative post aside, having watched the 9-7 Giants beat the 13-3 Patriots in the Super Bowl just a few years ago, we can have hope that it is never over till it's over. The chances may be considerably slimmer, but the chance does still exist, whether by talent or by pure luck, or just a case of denial myself. Here's hoping for ring number 4. Yeah, I definitely think if the Patriots lose the next 2 out of 3, people will start to really jump off the cliff.
Well, if they lose the next 2, there's a potential that the last game is to make the playoffs.
Right. That's true.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. You know that I think they're going to beat Miami. But just think about this for a second. If Miami wins out and Baltimore wins out,
right,
that means the Patriots have to beat Buffalo to make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
Just to make the playoffs.
I know.
To get the 6th seed.
I know.
Now, I don't see any way they possibly lose to Buffalo, but it's kind of a little bit of a departure to what we're used to. We're used to this is a t-shirt and a hat game. Last week was a t-shirt and a hat game.
Right.
Usually when we have t-shirt and hat games, we get to break them out.
But I think earlier one of our callers or emailers said it. If the Patriots do beat Miami this week, I think it's going to make us all feel a lot better in our psyche.
Of course it will.
Because now it's over. Now you've clinched the AFC East.
Yeah, of course it'll make you feel better. Anytime you win it,
beating
Cleveland the way they did made me feel better than it would have if we lost Gronk and lost the game.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
It made me feel better about the Patriots' chances going forward, and that was a big win.
Let's go to David.
Is Tommy terrific?
David, Twommy. Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Tommy Brady.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
Hey,
Good.
Dave.
I'm just, this is kind of crazy. We're 10-3. Okay.
Yes.
You know, we won with Gronk, and then let me paraphrase this. Gronk's a great player, and it's a big loss. Okay. We won with Gronk, and we won when he wasn't there, okay? You know, I mean, even people down here are like, oh, the season's over, blah, blah, blah. Gronk is, you know, I'm really sorry that, it was a bittersweet win against Cleveland. Like you just said, you know, it would have been worse if we had lost the game and lost Gronk. Okay, we're 10-3. We're in the driver's seat, okay? Yes, the defense is definitely hurting. Okay, you got Spice playing on one leg. Talib is, doing the best he can. Leonard's in and out. Okay, these guys are giving it all they have. All right, and, for a Patriot fan to sit here, and, I mean, let's just go back to the beginning of the season. You know, and I hate to replay it, with the Hernandez situation and losing Welker. If you had told anybody if you were going to lose Hernandez, Welker, Gronk, Wilford, Tommy Kelly, Talib was going to be banged up also, for the second half of the season, and that we win 3, they'd probably laugh at you.
Well, I just don't remember anybody picking them to lose these games, that's all.
Well, no. Yeah, I know.
So I don't think you would have gotten laughed at. That's all I'm saying.
I think you would have, because, a lot of you guys were 9-7, 10-6.
That's patently false. Eric said that. That's it.
Right. No, I'm
Fred said 12. I said 12. Andy said 11.
In a whole, this team isn't going to pack up and go away. I mean, yes, the Miami game is a huge game. And everyone can take a sigh of relief if we beat Miami. You get the division. You're in a better position. Okay.
But if they lose, you're going to go into a panic?
Miami hasn't been a powerhouse this year. Neither has
Miami's
Baltimore.
Terrible.
Well, they're not
terrible. Baltimore's been up and down.
They can't protect a quarterback.
They're not consistent.
They can't protect a quarterback. They can't run the football.
Yeah.
And they can't stop the run. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how do you like the Miami Dolphins?
Every team has problems, but they haven't been terrible. They've been very inconsistent.
They're extremely mediocre. They've lost to extremely bad teams.
And they've given a lot of better teams a run for their money. Terrible teams don't do that.
You're absolutely right there. But
like who? What are the better teams that they've given a run for the money? Indy?
I think the doom and gloom has to stop. I mean, you have to look at this.
So I guess Cleveland's good, too.
You can call me a homer. You can call me whatever you want.
Better than the
I mean,
no, they're not.
You know, this team is 10-3. And they, right now they are positioned as the number two seed. They're going to have the first week bye. You know, who's to say that Denver won't lose to San Diego Thursday?
Hey, no one. No one thought Baltimore would go to Denver and beat them.
Denver could lose to San Diego Thursday.
Denver had the number one seed last year, and what did it do for them?
Absolutely.
I think Denver could lose to San Diego.
All right,
I don't see how that changes anything for the Patriots. I don't know.
Let's see.
Can we establish that anybody can lose a game?
Sure.
To anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, can we all operate under that premise?
Absolutely.
But Miami's not a very good team. They're a very mediocre team. They're 7-6.
Yeah, but you said they were terrible.
I think they're terrible. I think they're lucky to be 7-6.
I mean, I don't know what your standards are, unless like they're the 85 Bears. They're not a good team.
My standards are don't lose at home to Buffalo and don't lose to winless Tampa Bay. I don't have very lofty standards to be reasonably good. Those are teams that they lost to.
Well, let's see. They beat Cincinnati.
They beat Cincinnati.
They lost and
they beat
to
Indianapolis.
Baltimore by 3. They beat San Diego. They lost to Carolina by 4, and they beat Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh stinks.
They're competitive, though, Paul. You know they.
What is this competitive nonsense? Cleveland stinks, Fred. Houston stinks. Pittsburgh stinks. There's like 3 teams in the AFC that have been eliminated from the playoffs. Those are 3 of them.
Oh, and they beat the Jets by 20.
Oh, yeah, the Jets are real good.
We didn't do that. Andrew's on the line from Buffalo.
Not making a strong case for your side, pointing out the fact that the Patriots lost to them.
What up? How y'all doing?
Good.
That's good. Just 2 things. One thing I wanted to talk about. I actually have a question to ask too. But when Gronk went down, I kind of was down. I'm down on the season too. I think we'll get in the playoffs, but just alluding to what Andy said, you know, about playmaking ability, I'm a little worried about that. That we don't have guys out there that can make those plays when we need to in the playoffs. So that's a concern.
On offense or defense? Are you concerned?
Both.
Yeah, both, because we have young wide receivers where the spotlight may be too big for them to perform at a high level. So
that's a good.
I don't even worry about the spotlight. I worry about exactly what you said, Andrew, the ability to make plays.
Right, right.
I'm not sure that we have got enough guys that have that ability.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough either. And I have a question. I heard y'all saying, like, if Miami and Baltimore wins out, we have to win. Well, we would have to win the Buffalo game to get in the playoffs. So, I mean, just say Miami and the Patriots together go 10-6, but Miami beat us and they split between us.
Miami holds the tiebreaker if they win out. If the Patriots and Miami finish 10-6, Miami holds the tiebreaker.
How is that?
I don't know what it is, but otherwise the Patriots would have already clinched the division.
Right. After.
I trust the NFL in those things.
After head-on-head, I believe it's common opponents.
It would be division, and that would be, I believe. Well,
Patriots have lost 2 games.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they would have lost 3 because they would have to have lost Buffalo.
It would have been division record. Miami would have lost 2 games, so they would be 4-2.
Right.
Patriots would be 3-3. That's how they would win.
Oh, okay.
But we're assuming they lose to Buffalo
happen.
10-6.
Yeah. And listen, it's not going to happen because Baltimore and Miami aren't going to win out and the Patriots aren't going to lose out. So I'm just saying that there is that. That's why they haven't clinched yet.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Let's see. Mike in Rhode Island's coming to Paul's aid as if he needs it.
No, he don't
need it. Paul, I'm backing you up. Andy couldn't make it today. I'm in your corner. Fred, you don't even believe your own crap.
Yeah,
Fred,
I don't.
You don't even believe your own crap.
And what part of it do I not believe?
The fact that you keep changing your questions.
Let me ask you a question. When Nostradamus Paul projected 12-4 and out in the first round, was Gerard Mayo and Vince Wilfork on IR yet?
No.
So he made that projection with them on the team?
Correct.
Okay. Are they going to somehow, now that we're 13 weeks into the season, not make the playoffs?
No, Mike. My question to him was,
now that we know what we know, if all those guys were healthy, wouldn't he give them a better chance in the playoffs?
And my answer was yes.
To go beyond the first game. But
and I would.
He's still saying no, they'll be one and done.
But the answer to that question is yes, they would have a better chance.
No, but you still think the end result will be they'll lose.
Yes, I don't think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. Yes, I would think they would lose.
Get to 12-4. Some of those guys weren't a part of the team. That was part of the thought when he made the projection. And right. Now because you lost the guy, what's he supposed to say? Well, now they're going to win the first round of the playoffs?
No.
You weren't listening to the conversation.
Mike, what he can't understand is when I think that you have an 80% chance to win a game and then you lose a bunch of guys and now I think it's 20% chance to win a game, he doesn't see a difference in that.
I think
they were going to lose either way, but I certainly thought they had a much better chance when they were healthy than they do now.
Yeah,
he doesn't understand that I haven't changed. He just thinks I haven't changed despite all the injuries.
Right.
I have changed. No, I've lowered my expectations.
You're very stubborn.
I'm guilty as charged on that.
You know, and now I have more respect for how this roster was comprised early in the season. I think they were
I really just don't understand how you can say that based on the way that they've won the games.
The fact that they lose all these players and keep winning.
So it doesn't matter to you how they win. Like, you just go with your little style points, like your little catchphrase.
Will it matter how they win in the playoffs to you?
Yes. Do you think they have a chance to win games like that in the playoffs?
Why not?
Consistently?
Why not? They only have to win two to get to the Super Bowl if they
maybe
get a seed. You know,
maybe
if they get the second seed.
Yeah, and you think that that's what you're going to do? Fall behind and score two touchdowns in the last minute?
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, I think that if
that's all I'm saying, Fred, is I don't think it's sustainable. I know that makes me an idiot and it makes me the anti-homer and I'm a hater now. I don't think it's sustainable to beat terrible teams on the last play of the game and expect to win in the playoffs.
All I'm saying is that you never thought that they could win in the playoffs.
And I did think they could.
Right.
That's where you're wrong.
You never thought they could.
No, I never thought they would. There's a difference. You don't understand the English language.
You never thought that they would.
I didn't think they were a Super Bowl team coming into the season.
But you didn't even think they could win a playoff game.
I thought they would likely lose in the first round of the playoffs.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. With a healthy team.
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't think they're good enough.
And there's no rethinking
again
that now?
No, I think it's worse now.
Now that you know the rest of the league, if the Patriots were healthy, you don't think that they'd win in the playoffs?
I don't know why this bothers you so much.
I'm just asking.
I just don't think it's sustainable.
I'm not bothered.
I don't think it's sustainable. What do you think their record would be
That's
if they were
the
all
question.
Healthy?
That's
10-3.
That's the question, sustainable.
That's all I'm saying. I think that they were very, very fortunate to win at least half of the games they've won.
Right.
I think they're a hair away from being a 500 team.
But you don't think if healthy they would win a playoff game?
It depends who they played.
Okay. All right.
If they played Denver in the first round of the playoffs, no, I don't think they'd beat them. If they played Kansas City, I don't think they'd beat them.
With a healthy Patriots team?
No, I don't think they would.
Okay.
Maybe even Cincinnati, if they could actually show up and play to their level. I'm not sure that will happen. I think Cincinnati probably would puke on itself, and maybe you'd beat them. Indianapolis, so you'd beat Indianapolis.
You just don't think that they were ever that good?
No, but that's what I said.
That's fine.
I haven't. I mean, you're saying that I'm stubborn. I haven't changed. Like that's how I felt going into the year. I thought they were good, not great. And you're saying like based on the rest of the league, based on the rest of the league is why I thought they would go 12-4.
Scott in Providence.
That is why, because I think everybody else sucks.
Scott in Providence says, Fred, you're right. For Paul to say that the additions of Mayo, Gronk, Wilfork, Kelly would only increase the chances of winning a playoff game slightly is outrageous. That's essentially what he is saying. So what are the chances of winning a first playoff game now? 30% or so. Then according to Paul, the addition of three Pro Bowl selections, one of which is the best tight end in the game, only raised that at the most 19%. Give me a break. Paul, you're
not
wrong.
Sure
just
you,
admit it.
Not sure where you got the 30% now. I'm not sure where that
right.
came from.
Yeah. I but think I said okay. last
Maybe.
Yesterday 30%. That
Maybe.
Was my number.
But anyway, I'm not going to split hairs with you. I don't think they're that good. I think they're exceptionally well coached, and they have a quarterback who's clutch as hell.
Luke says, do you guys can recall any worse bad luck in the history of the franchise? Losing that many all-pro players, Mayo, Wilfork, Kelly, Vollmer, Kronk, Hernandez, a wounded secondary, and two robbed officiating debacles. It's a shame. They had the best defense the first 3 weeks. Coach Belichick has done a tremendous job in the last draft additions. That outrageous eighth overall pick in 08, the two first-round picks in 2012, it just feels bad to lose as much. since he won't make it through their last three games, besides Dalton is too immature, the defense is far from impressive without Atkins. KC's starting quarterback is Alex Smith. Indy has talent. They are a solid contender. Baltimore will knock out the Broncos, so we don't have to worry about them in the divisional round. Not sure about that this year.
The worst luck for the Patriots, 1960 to 2001, inclusive.
Is that luck or just incompetence?
No, I'm talking about the bad. I mean, how about losing three guys in the same preseason game one
right.
year?
Yeah, but would they have
three all pros?
Yeah, that's true. Tippett, Lepet, and who was the other
Garen
guy?
Veris.
Garen Veris.
I shouldn't say all pros. Three Pro Bowl players. Right?
I was before at that game.
Before you even played a game.
I was at the game. I remember that.
This has been bad. The injuries this year for the Patriots, important players for significant strategy. Gronk, Mayo, Wilfork. Three important guys for large stretches of the season.
Are we getting food?
That's tough. Why? Are you getting punchy? Is that why you're so mad at me?
I'm not mad.
They've got a ways to go. They're not delivering it to the media workroom until I think 1:30 or later.
What is it, Subway or pizza?
I think it's Subs.
Subs.
You're mad at me, Fred.
What'd you say? I'm not mad. 1:30?
Darren said 1:30 at the earliest.
I'm not mad.
I'm just exposing you. That's all.
That's okay. You can have fun if you think by changing the words around.
Let's see. Harry in Denver. Just wanted to comment on what the caller Al was saying about Denver fans. Beginning of the year, these guys thought Peyton and the Broncos had already won the Super Bowl. After the Patriots came to beat the Donkeys, the fans realized they weren't untouchable. They didn't count the Indy game and were a little uncertain. Last Sunday, when they put up 51 in the cold, now they're the champs again.
Well, I think the bigger part of that would be Gronkowski. Listen, if I'm a Denver fan, if someone could knock off the Patriots for me, I would feel pretty good about that, right?
Sort of like how we think about Baltimore.
Or Denver.
Yeah.
You'd rather face Denver than Baltimore?
No, but I think that, well, yeah, I think Baltimore's less scared of us.
Man.
You know? I think they're less scared of us.
I think that might be true, but they don't have one-tenth of the talent.
Pat says Paul's wrong again. Paul, did you not say it was difficult to get into good arguments when it was only you and Fred in the booth?
Yes, I did say that.
Let's see. Zach and Kate. With the different names in the email, and it turns out it's Ike in Wollongong, wherever that is.
I like Ike. See what I did there?
Now that I've had some days to think about the game and all that happened, I wanted to ask your opinion on something. I may be going way off topic, but it concerns me greatly. Scott Zolak, who is this guy? I was unable to watch the game live and was forced to listen to the broadcast. There were times when his color analysis was, come on, and what's going on? I can't see what's going on, and it would be great if the guy who was getting paid to tell me what's going on actually knew what was happening. To my larger point, I think we need a combo with Paul and Andy as our color guys.
Don't need that.
I trust your analysis a lot more than anyone else.
I thank you, Ike, but I don't think you want to hear any of that. Andy and I have these like utter streams of consciousness during games that we just...
No, but do you think...
We're insane.
Do you think if you were set in the booth, you could?
I don't think that'd be my strength, no.
No?
I think that... I mean, this might be just me, and I don't know how fans think of this stuff, but... I want to hear a color analyst that really knows the X's and O's of the game and can tell me why a guy got open right away or what they were doing.
In layman's terms.
Yeah, well, I don't care what terms they do, but I need them to tell me why something happened, for lack of a long explanation. I want to know what the Patriots are doing offensively to get guys wide open, you know, and how they're so successful. I can look and say, oh, man. What a throw by Brady. I can do that from the press box. I can look at that and say, you know what, that Brady, he's pretty good. Well, you know, I'd like to hear a guy, and Zolak has done this occasionally. He'll look at a lineup when they come out of the huddle and tell you what he thinks is going to happen based on the personnel, based on the formation.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for, and I don't think I can do that. Although, do you recall Sunday, Fred, when I accurately predicted the 7-yard reception for Shane Vereen?
Yes.
It was a 2nd-and-10 play. I believe it was an incomplete pass, and I said, here comes a 7-yard catch for Vereen.
Yep.
And he got exactly 7 yards. That was unbelievable. Remember that? That was awesome.
I did. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Hey, guys, and Eric says, Mark and Cheddar, it's been a while since I emailed, but I've been listening and watching all the games. I'm proud to say that even when it was approaching 4 or 5 in the morning and all had looked lost, I did not turn the TV off. Just one complaint about Cleveland fans and their annoyance with the PI call. I don't understand why they are so annoyed. It was an awful call, but it was the only one way that gave Cleveland a chance to win. If not for the PI call, the Patriots would have driven the remaining 30 yards and taken the lead with no time for Cleveland to drive for field goal. So to recap, the refs didn't screw Cleveland. The refs tried to screw the Patriots again, but this time we prevailed.
I'm sure that you think that way.
A little sarcasm there. I hadn't thought about it that way, but now that he mentions it, okay, I will. let's go to Eldridge in Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Love hearing y'all argue as usual.
Good.
Yeah.
But I got to go with Paul.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing for me.
I got to go with Paul.
Yeah.
I hate doing that, Paul. I'm going to have to go with you this time.
All right.
I'm afraid of Baltimore and Denver. Matter of fact,
Fred's definitely afraid of Baltimore.
Most definitely, because of the history we got with them.
Yeah, I just don't think they're very good.
Even though Rice ain't running as good, Torrey Holt might show up every now and then, and Flacco might be Flacco once in a while. But this defense, you know, it'll play a little bit better sometimes, but in the playoffs, they kick to another gear. And when they play us, I don't know what it is. I guess it's big brother, little brother thing, because they be coming for it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they play defensively against the Patriots in 2 weeks, because that's a whole new defense. It's played much better than their last year. But I don't know how they'll match up against the Patriots with all those new guys. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, me too, because when Grunt went down, my heart fell out of my chest again. I'm like,
it was terrible.
Here we go. Here we go. That hurt. And then
I was actually hoping for a concussion, believe it or not.
I was hoping just for a sprain. He'd be back next week.
Yeah, but the way that they hit it, he planted just at the moment that he hit him. It was just... You know, perfect storm.
I don't blame Bill. I think that was a cheap shot anyway. I think the dude went for his leg anyway, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think it was a cheap shot. But other than that, you know, love the commentating, and I'm more worried about my defense.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, everybody runs through us to like 85, up and down. You know, then they find a key stop every now and then. Yeah. You know, but the defense worries me in the playoffs, and who's going to replace Grunt?
Right.
I know we got Bahrain.
Nobody replaces
Collie. Yeah. But... You know, Mulligan and that other guy, Williams. I don't know if they'll come through or not.
It's gonna be a season, a historical run, and they'll replace that defensive game plan that Belichick has in the Hall of Fame when he was with the Giants with what he did this year. So, all right, thanks, Eldridge, for the call. Paul's not even listening anymore.
I heard you,
Stan in Florida.
I can't argue with you about everything you say.
Hey,
Fred.
Stan, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Stan.
I'm just curious to find out if Cambrell Tompkins will be suiting up, because I know he's been injured and he had that hip problem, and I think they need him with that offense for this Sunday.
First of all, that's a great phone that you're on. Great.
You sound like you're in the room.
It's got to be a landline. It's a good question. I think you're going to see Tompkins this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have anything to base that on, but he's limited. He didn't miss practice altogether, so I have to think that he's closer than Dobson, and certainly they need him, and I think that maybe they erred on the side of caution last week, and now they're probably going to need him out there. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back, but I don't, you know, he was out at practice today, correct?
He did practice today?
He wasn't one of the guys that was missing from practice
today.
Not that
I know of.
See.
Yeah.
You know, now he'll probably be listed as having been limited in practice, Stan. So we'll see. We'll have to monitor that going forward.
Do you have him on your fantasy team?
I have him on my fantasy team.
Okay.
I have him, and I've been following his career. And, you know, he knows, as far as the wide receivers, he knows the different positions that they all play. And I know they rely on him. So he's been playing well. So I was just curious.
We'll see. We'll know more as the week goes on, particularly on Friday. But I'm with Paul. I think he's closer than he is to playing than he is to being out.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Stan.
I enjoy it. Bye.
Yep. Eric's in Los Angeles. Hey, Eric.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Eric.
Well, I'm calling to tell you guys that I think Fred is right and Paul is wrong, because we had an elite defense, or close to elite defense, at the beginning of the year, shutting down the opposing team's best receiver with Talib, and limiting the run with Vince Wilfork. And once Gronk was healthy, we had a top-five offense, top-three offense.
We actually outscored, up to this last game, the Broncos in the last four games.
Right. We had the second, we were second in points scored.
Right.
Second in first downs per game.
Yeah.
Third in yards.
Yeah. For a very small sample.
Yeah. Once they got
on
rolling.
On both sides.
Once they got rolling.
Well, I mean, if you just took the four good games for the Denver team.
It's just been an unfortunate season because once they got rolling on defense, they had injuries. Once they got rolling on offense, right. Gronk went out.
Right.
It's just
You're
been
right.
very unfortunate.
You're right.
So that's what I'm saying is if we had an elite, you know, we would have developed into an elite defense and continued to be an elite offense, that would make us a Super Bowl favorite.
Yeah. I don't think you were an elite defense. Okay?
Absolutely, Eric. In terms of today's NFL, we were.
I don't think you were.
Yeah.
You were able to hold the Jets to 10 points.
Eric, you're on the side of righteousness.
Vince Wilfork played three games. You know, I mean, that's if that qualifies as elite, then, you know, elite away.
Paul in the UK, afternoon, Hefty, Smurf, Greedy Smurf, Smurfette, and Gargamel, if he happens to be there. I don't know what that means. That's probably really bad. I feel nothing but positivity after listening to Fred yesterday in I no longer worry about getting to the Super Bowl. I feel that there are only concerns now is whether NFL Films will be able to get Bill's best side when they film him for America's Game. Seriously, though, if it were to happen, given the wall after wall this team is having to smash through just to win week in and week out, a Patriots Super Bowl would have to be the greatest championship run of all time. Yesterday I mentioned that I was going to play for my local team. I'm not particularly athletic or fast, so in line with Bill's philosophy, I'm going to try out for middle linebacker. Any advice? Ha ha. P.S., there needs to be great moments in PFW progress history regarding Andy's love affair with Cookies, as his descriptions are beginning to border on the pornographic.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's beginning. I think it's long since crossed the line. He's insane.
Yep. Let's see. Trying to find out some good emails here. Oh, Fred, you have a. This is Marco. You have a big task today in dealing with Paul's "Everybody Stinks" Perillo.
No, that's not what I said either.
Well, you.
I have no problem if you want. Like the last caller that said that we had an elite defense. Well, was that an emailer?
The caller.
Eric in L.A.
Yeah.
If you want to say that I'm underestimating how good the defense was early in the year, I think there's a legitimate argument for that. But I didn't say everybody stinks. I mean, that's.
Well, you and Andy think the whole league stinks.
No, I think football in general, the NFL, the level of play in the NFL, I think, is down. And I think it has been for 4 or 5 years. I think it's the product is deteriorating. I don't know if it's all because of the rules. I don't know if it's exactly why. But to me, the overall level of play is down.
When do you think it was
down.
At its best?
Probably the 80s.
The 80s?
Maybe. The NFC in the 80s was, to me, just one great team after another.
They had, yes, they did, you know, the 49ers, the Giants, the Cowboys, Redskins at times.
You know, it would have been the AFC in the 70s with Pittsburgh and Miami and the Raiders, you know, even the Patriots for a short time in the mid-70s.
Yeah, I think the games now are better than ever.
Well, I mean, they're exciting, and that's what, you know, simpletons want. They just want excitement.
I think
they just want the game to be close so
they
can get
excited. I think
the
talent is spread out better, and I think the games are
I just don't think the games are as well played.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I think
penalties.
You're right. Back then, there were dominant teams, but I don't think that the level of play was any better than it is now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know you'd have to do some sort of studies and things like that. You're probably right. I don't know if that's, but it just seems to me that too many games now decided on flags. I mean, the Eagles just got a game handed to them in the snow against Detroit with terrible calls.
Yeah.
The Ravens got a game handed to them on terrible calls against Minnesota. Just every week, it just seems like the games are decided by the refs and not by execution.
Sean says, and he's from Petaluma, California. What about Daniel Fells? Remember him? Big Smooth. Looks like he's on the Cardinals practice squad. No, he's not on the Cardinals practice squad.
No.
He's a good blocker, can catch a few passes, and most importantly, knows Bill's system. There was some talk that he was injured when we cut him, but shouldn't we kick the tires on some depth? Last time I know, he was on TV in Atlanta, maybe? He was doing TV down.
You're talking about Algie Crumpler?
Oh, yes, you're right. I'm thinking of Crumpler. Yeah. Where is Fells?
I think he's out of the league.
Yeah. I know he's not. He doesn't have any. He's too old for practice squad anywhere.
Well, he's got too much experience.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think that they have any interest in bringing him back. They had all year to bring him back. I mean, they cut him when they had no tight ends.
Josh from Stratford, Connecticut. Listen. All this talk about us not being able to make it now from all these people has to stop. If it was Brady out with
Let
an
me know when it starts.
if it was Brady out with an ACL, I'd say, okay, throw in the towel. Brady has shown time and time again.
No, you wouldn't.
That you don't count them out. They will make the plays. Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl, and I could see us winning with rookies, which would just make Tom Brady the all-time great. Yeah, if you can believe it and you can conceive it, you can achieve it.
Let me know when you hear all those guys saying
that
they don't have a chance. Yeah, well, I'm certainly not indicative of the fans.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, all the people are calling in saying that you're right and I'm wrong.
How's Matt Reese doing? Is the press conference still going on? Matt Reese from the Revolution retired.
That wrapped up a couple hours ago.
Oh, a couple hours ago? Okay.
Still haven't seen the video yet on the website, though.
Yeah. Felix from Houston, I don't want to sound delusional, but I feel like the Patriots are a team of destiny. I feel that 53 grown-ass...
I kind of think a little of that. That's the one thing that gives me pause on my on how strongly I'm arguing with you.
I feel that 53 grown-ass men are going to realize what's going on and how everyone is discounting them because of the loss of one player. That has to hurt their ego. The Patriots are playing with something to prove. Time to step up. Looks like Ray Horton has McDaniels in the formula to beat the Patriots. Always looks the same. Who's Ray Horton?
Defensive coordinator for Cleveland.
Oh. The Patriots know moving forward, Gronkowski is going to, and Mulligan is not going to come and save the day. I guarantee once the Patriots enter the dance, they will be the team to beat, as well as I'm guaranteeing the Broncos lose in the divisional round at home for the third straight year. The AFC Championship will be KC at New England, with New England winning and getting to the Super Bowl. This is where the fantasy ends, as we lose to either San Francisco or Seattle. Keep up the awesome work. Love the show. Well, he's got it all figured out.
Yeah, no, the beginning part about the team of destiny, I do kind of wonder about that. Because I do think that you have, that's championship teams, you have those kinds of things happen. You're like, you know, remember when that happened, remember when this happened, that game seemed lost and they found a way to win, and then all of a sudden you're a team of destiny. Now, the other part, you know, I think we've gone over it enough the last couple of days. There aren't a lot of Patriots fans throwing in the towel on this team.
Fat Beaver writes
You're going to get food? Good for you.
All right, good. Kevin's leaving. Fat Beaver's writing in, knowing Josh McDaniels is an aggressive play caller and with the dramatic loss of Gronk and the drastic consequences on the offense, do you guys think he will turn towards a rather run-first philosophy or continue to combine run and pass? Now, of course, it all depends on the situations, momentum, rhythm, if the Patriots are trailing, blah, blah. And now, Paul, I believe this team can reach the Super Bowl, but, quite frankly, if they do, I'll call it a season. I don't think they'll be a run-first team.
I don't think they'll be a run-first team, but I do think that they need to sort of rely a little bit more on the run than they have. I still think it's Brady. You don't want to take the ball out of Brady's hands. But I do think that the emailer makes a good point. I think that you need to sort of you need to run the ball better. I think you need to be more productive in running situations and not rely on second and 10, spread them out, run the ball, and that's how you get your yards.
Lawrence is in Baton Rouge. Hey, Lawrence.
Larry.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Oh. Man, this is my first time calling, man. This is an honor. Like, you have no idea.
Well, it's an honor for us.
Yeah.
I've been listening to y'all for 3 years, 9 months since I was a senior in high school. I remember my teacher... It was during like the midterm week, and I had y'all in at 11 o'clock, and he was like, "Son, what you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm listening to PFW in progress. Well, it's okay, it's the Patriots, so, you know." So y'all just have no clue, man. Like how big you are, man. Like to me in Baton Rouge, you know, it's like it's Saints country.
We're big in
you
know, Baton like, Rouge.
Hey.
Man, I hate the Saints, you know, and you know, it's everybody get mad at me because I'm a Patriots fan.
Oh, that's
like,
funny.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm talking so fast, and, you know, I'm probably, you know, but, yeah, like, I just wanted to, you know, like, this season, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, like, as far as Gronk, you know, getting, you know.
Just enjoy it.
You know, I'm looking forward to next season, though, you know.
No. Lawrence, focus on the Miami Dolphins. We got to win this game.
Look, I hate getting my feelings hurt. You know, I hate it, you know. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to next season with Mayo coming back. I mean, look, like,
I think we had an elite defense. So I'm sorry, you know, whoever had the argument earlier, I'm just not tuning in, but I think the Patriots had an elite defense at the beginning of the season. You know, and our offense, you know, I feel like in the draft we're going to go get a Aaron Hernandez type tight end, and we're just going to, you know, 07. I'm sorry. 07.
Lawrence, let me ask you a question. How close is Baton Rouge to New Orleans?
It's 45. I don't know how many miles, but it's 45 minutes.
Can you do me a favor? Can you go down to Bourbon Street and find one of those fortune teller ladies with the voodoo dolls? I need her to stick some pins in a Peyton Manning doll for me so that he doesn't break Tom Brady's touchdown record this year.
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right.
I'll get on this weekend, man.
Get on it, Lawrence. All right.
Thanks,
Fred's very excited
thanks
about
for the
that.
Call. I appreciate it. And the honor is all ours. Thank you.
That was a great call.
Yeah.
That was a great call. He's from Baton Rouge. He's getting in trouble like during midterms in high school listening to PFW
and
Progress.
He says we don't know how big we are down there.
Yeah. Can you imagine us being big in Baton Rouge? I mean,
if
Fred was here, you two are big anywhere you go.
No, that would be Andy, right?
That's what I said. Yeah. If Andy were here, he'd be yelling at us.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's see. Jeff says
some good calls today.
Yeah.
Even though they all think you're right and I'm wrong.
Jeff from New Brunswick, Connecticut, Canada. Haven't the last few Super Bowl winners had many issues heading into the playoffs?
Every team has many issues.
But got hot.
Whoever wins
the
Super Bowl is going to have many issues.
But got
hot. Can we agree on that?
Yep. But got hot when it mattered the most and a bit of luck, like Raheem Moore missing on the Jones tying TD
right.
last year. That alone gives me hope. Absolutely.
Whoever wins the Super Bowl every year is going to have many issues because there are no really good teams anymore. This is my point about the level of play. If Seattle wins the Super Bowl this year, they're not without issues. They're missing half their team.
Right. Robin,
and the other half of it is suspended.
Robin,
because I don't know what Pete Carroll's doing down there, giving out PEDs like Tic Tacs.
Right. Robin, it's you know what it is they mistake all the caffeine that they get from the Starbucks.
I mean, that's
there.
The dirtiest team in football. They would put the 70 Steelers to shame.
Yeah. Robin in Alaska, today's show has solidified my feelings about this season. I'm 20% sure that Paul is my second favorite on the show, but I'm 80% sure I don't know who was in first place.
See, now I can get that. See? Yeah. You always make fun of me. I got it.
Sean in New Hampshire.
It's a nice rocket shot.
The only thing I can surmise from this season as we are a team of destiny.
I'm coming back to that. If I'm wrong, that's what I'm going to be the most wrong about.
Yeah. See, to me, that scares me the most. Like you said,
I just don't think it's sustainable.
Right. You don't think how they're winning is sustainable. I kind of agree. At some point, I think they have to beat a team because they just played better. You know?
Well, because they are better.
No other way to explain this year. We have come up short and hunkered down to gut out victories in the waning moments. This is the clutch play we've been missing. I love Paul, and I understand all the reasons why we aren't the 2001 team. We are the 2013 team. This team is special. Believe, guys. Just believe. And that's Sean in New Hampshire.
Well, Fred believes.
I do.
Because Fred believes if they have a chance, then you have to say they're going to win.
When you have Brady and Belichick,
when you have a chance,
no, not for
you have a chance as long as if you have hope
in
that's
the NFL. In the NFL, every team has a chance.
You say if they have hope,
but I think that with Brady and Belichick, you know, puts them over the top. Stefan in London, love the show. Few questions. Will we ever questions? He calls them. Will we ever see a 19 plus sack season from Chandler Jones? Yeah, we could. Yeah,
I'm going to say no.
No,
but a lot of things can happen. I'm not really passionate about that.
Really thought that he might end up with 15 this year on the rate he was going, but it's kind of getting iffy.
He might.
What does he have? 10.5 now.
10.5, I think.
Yeah. Will we ever see Amendola have 100 plus catch season?
Yes.
Will we ever see Hightower play as a hybrid defensive end as we were billed when he was drafted?
I don't know.
I say no.
I think that that's sort of a subjective thing. Like you could say, well, yeah, he's kind of doing that right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Will we ever see Ridley with a no fumble season?
No.
And will we ever see Vereen with 1,000 plus yards rushing and receiving season? Oh, absolutely.
No.
What? Combined?
No, he's saying both.
Oh. I thought yards from scrimmage. Yeah, that would be really hard. I doubt that.
Yeah.
Who's done that?
Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig.
Really? Those are the only two?
I think.
Yeah. That's really hard.
Strippers on that. You got time.
That's really hard to do. Scott in West Des Moines, Iowa. I would love to have the faith that most of the other fans have, but this defense has been porous against terrible teams, and the offense was not world beaters without Gronk. What's worse, without the defense, is that the bend but don't break is gone. They are giving up too many points and not getting the turnovers at opportune times like they have in the past. I will be elated if the rest of the fan base turns out to be correct. However, I'm a realist. Good for you. Let's see. John says from Maine, don't listen to Fred Paul. I appreciate Fred's enthusiasm, but Paul is correct in that the Patriots' chances of winning in the playoffs now is worse than when they were healthy. Okay. I'll concede that point.
See, but you see what I mean when
they can't.
Can I stop for a second?
Yes.
You see, what he just did was that's absolutely a fact, what he just said.
Yes.
But wasn't necessarily what we were arguing about.
Absolutely.
That's what you did to me.
I know.
For virtually the entire 20 minutes we were arguing.
No, that's not what we were arguing.
You can
about.
Go ahead.
They can't continue to come back and win in the second half in the playoffs like they have as of late. They'll be facing very good teams in the playoffs who will score points early on the defense, and our offense won't be able to keep up. Bottom line, Paul is correct. You don't have the right argument, but in the argument that you're talking about, Paul and I agree.
But you can't see the difference between having a chance and having no chance,
right?
You, even though I don't think they're going to win either way. I think it's the same. It's not the same.
Eric,
it's not what I said. Anyway, strippers, what you need to look up is 1,000-yard rush running backs that rushed for 1,000 yards and received for 1,000 yards in the same season. I believe Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk did it. I didn't know if anybody else did it. First of all, am I right on that? And I don't know if anybody else had done it. He said he wasn't paying attention. What was I supposed to look up?
Right. San Gabriel, California, with a healthy Tlaib, Vince Wilfork, Tommy Kelly, Dennard, Mayo. I think we would have an elite defense, or at the least, a very stingy defense that ranks among the top five, which is what we were when everyone was healthy. We shut down the other team's best receiver and limited the run. With Gronk, we became a top three offense, second in points scored, second in first downs per game, third in yards per game. Therefore, if we had a healthy team, we would have an elite offense, elite defense, and be a favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for three games, you had an elite defense.
Jeff from Pennsylvania, the level of play is at an all-time high, he believes. The current state of the NFL is a result of free agency and the salary cap. There is parity, and more first-time teams are winning Super Bowls. It's great. Who wants to see San Francisco win every game, or Dallas or Buffalo? Are you kidding me?
I don't need it to be the same team. Like, don't mistake dynasties for greatness. Like, it doesn't need to be San Francisco winning all the Super Bowls. I have no problem if some team is going to come out of nowhere and win one. As long as I think that... When was the last time you legitimately thought, Fred, the Super Bowl champ was the best team in football?
That's a good question. I have to think. I can't think off the top of my head.
That's kind of what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, but that's good.
No, I don't think it's good.
You know?
To me, it speaks to the watered-down nature of today's game.
No, it just shows that there's no team that's head and shoulders above the others.
Yeah, and I think that's bad. That's where we have a philosophical difference, and the emailer obviously does, too, because he likes it this way. I don't like parity. I like greatness. I like great teams. To me, the 2004 Patriots were head and shoulders the best. That's what I like. That's what I want to see. Now, that doesn't mean I don't ever want there to be an upset, you know, because otherwise why would we watch?
Right.
We just say, well, that's the best team.
Yeah,
and
2007, we're head and shoulders. The Patriots were the best team.
And I enjoyed the 2007 season a lot more than I've enjoyed this one. And, that's kind of a dumb statement. Obviously, they were undefeated. But if somebody else had done it, I would enjoy it more, too. Because to me, I appreciate greatness. And I don't think that we've had greatness for a while. I don't think Baltimore was the best team last year. I don't think the Giants were the best team the year they beat us in Indianapolis. I don't think Green Bay was the best team the year that they won. I don't think New Orleans was the best team the year they won. It's come down to, like, you know, who gets the call, who gets the luck. Some fluke thing happens. It's exciting. I'll give you that. It's exciting. But I don't think the caliber of play is as high as it once was.
Jeevan from Vancouver, Leon Washington had a 95-yard kick return this past week against Denver. So why did we let him go again? Good luck to all the students on their final exams right now. Got my last one tomorrow. Yep, good luck to everybody. All right, it's 1:34. We've been going strong for over an hour and a half. We're going to take a break because we got some Subway sandwiches here in the Subway Fresh Studios, and we'll be right back after the break.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen. Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep,
you
me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
so
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, "Oh, you guys are pussies playing that game."
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, "Oh, who's the pussy now?" So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came. You know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, "Say that again." I'm like, "Who's the pussy now?" And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean
he
was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, that the end of the story? All right, we're back at PFW, and also...
That was even better, listening to it, how many times you swore.
Yeah.
That pussy's not a swear. Who's the pussy
again.
Now?
There he goes again.
Who's,
now, is
who's
that
the
more or less
now?
Offensive than smear the queer? Because that's actually what they called it at my
I think
school,
it's pretty...
Too.
I think they're, those two are pretty
No, I'm
pretty
oh,
close.
You guys are
it's,
pussies.
It's,
when you're making a historical reference like that, you're allowed to say it.
Is that how it works?
Oh,
a
I don't think
Historical
so.
Reference?
Yeah. There's plenty of historical references that could use the N-word. That's not allowed. Mm.
Or the F-word.
Well...
If you're quoting somebody directly. I'm just quoting.
I got to apologize to Kevin. I heard a real radio clip this morning that said S-H-I-T.
Really?
And they kind of bleeped something. It's like
that
if you...
That was on our show
no,
yesterday.
No. It was the same thing on real radio.
Yeah.
And I was like, they do it in... It was on Dennis and Callahan this morning.
You don't... Beep the right part.
You bleep before or after the word, and that somehow covers your ass. No, it doesn't. If my son knows that you said SH, then
Sugar,
then
honey,
you didn't do your job.
It's the intent.
You're supposed to block it so that he doesn't, so that it, like they do in songs.
They definitely do that.
In songs, at least.
They usually,
what's that song?
The
usually,
F word now they're doing.
They
that.
Usually bleep out more than they need to in a song. Like almost
and
like.
What's the one that it's like the chorus and all our kids sing it?
This is.
Awesome.
Something awesome.
It's this is effing awesome. And they bleep it, so kids just put a weird pause in. Like my son goes, and this is awesome. Like he does it not knowing that there was
they
even
err
a
on
swear.
The side of caution.
Whereas people
on
like,
the songs.
Like, Kevin right. and real radio people, they do, you hear the whole damn word.
They actually, Macklemore and Lewis were on, they had a Grammy nomination show, I think, like a week and a half ago. And that's how they opened the show. They came out and they did Thrift Shop. And they were saying something. This is something awesome. And everybody was laughing. It's like everybody knew that they were making a.
And I got another little quick side rant here. The new Eminem song that I really like with Rihanna, Crazy,
Monsters,
Maniac, Monster.
Yeah. Bed.
Monsters
yeah.
Under the Bed.
She broke a record. It became her 11th number one song on the pop charts. She broke Katy Perry's record. But that's
that
not really
count.
Fair.
Samples shouldn't count.
They're like.
Well, because she's
not
featured, not because
well, I don't
well,
know.
All she sings is the chorus.
Right.
That's what I mean.
It's not her song.
That's what I'm saying. She's featured. She's
does Eminem really, also yeah. get credit? Like, if whatever number one hit.
Well,
that
Eminem
is for him.
Should get credit. For
and you know, Katy Perry.
Like
all
Eminem.
Her songs are Katy Perry. Rihanna is just singing a little chorus on a song. That's not fair.
Yeah, I think that like Pitbull does that. Pitbull has everybody
yeah.
in his songs. I mean, his
and it's another Pitbull hit. Well, no, it isn't.
Well, they're Pitbull hits,
but
they shouldn't be hits for the people
right.
that he has.
I don't care for it.
You know, with them, like Christina Aguilera, or whoever. I mean,
but does he get credit for? He must get credit too for the songs he does to help people out. That
well, like, did Dido
in.
Get a number
Eric,
one
don't
hit?
Talk with your mouth full. Will
sorry,
you please? We get so many emails of people that don't like that.
Wasn't it Dido who did a song with him that
Eminem,
like
yep.
blonde? Did she get a number one hit? Is that considered
Dido?
Her number one hit?
He did, yeah.
Wow,
really?
Well, I like Eminem, so I know all of them. I also have an issue with the song
itself. That's
not
a combination that I would have thought.
It was good.
That
it was Stan. Odd Stan,
duo,
right?
Yeah. I mean, Dido.
And she actually had the same song go as a hit, just her. Because it was part of a song, and then I don't know how they all did that. But my other issue is.
It was Stan, Andy.
Yeah, I thought it was Stan.
It's really explicit.
Yeah, I'm your biggest fan,
version,
Stan.
So
it's about a guy who
I don't
kills
have the clean
himself
version.
And everything. And then the other question I have, listening to the song, it's about being crazy. I get along with the monsters under my bed. Oh no, something. And then I get
yeah.
along
I'm
with the
friend. Yeah, I'm friends
I'm
with
friends
the,
with
the monster
monsters
under my
bed.
Under my
I get
bed.
Along
and
with
I get
the voices
along
with
the
in my head. Is yeah. it crazier to get along with the voices in your head or to argue with the voices in your head? Wouldn't you be crazier if you argued with the voices in your head?
And that's it for this week's top 50. This one goes out to Cynthia,
song?
Who burned herself with a curling iron. And what?
You haven't heard that song? That's a song I
no,
thought you.
It's a good song.
I don't listen to
it's actually a pretty good song.
I don't,
you don't listen to what?
I don't have young kids in the house, so I don't listen
yeah,
to
but
this music.
I certainly don't listen to
I don't
Eminem
listen to terrestrial radio for music.
Okay, you don't.
Terrestrial radio.
You don't care about
it. I don't care about
he is such an elitist, pompous
how do you wake up in the morning?
I right. have no idea. I mental clock.
You don't set an alarm?
No.
Ever.
I don't set an alarm.
Well, when we're on the road, I use my iPhone.
Fred's prostate gets him up.
Really?
Yeah. But every day at home,
like
you
clock
you
that
up.
One of the funnier things you've ever said.
Really?
I don't set an alarm. But I mean, I don't get up until 7. It's not like I get up early.
What time do you get up?
I start waking up at about 5:45.
Yeah, I'll be. No, I'm with Fred. I don't get out of bed until 7 o'clock, but I'm awake long before that.
Some of us are running already by that time. All right, Billboard
you're
top 50.
All right,
you're my hero.
And you're an a-hole if anybody reads the comments on my fundraising page. Do you see what he wrote?
No.
I donated to him donated yesterday.
Yet. I haven't got there yet.
I donated wrote, yesterday. I said, trying to finish this year.
He made a bombing joke. He made a freaking bombing joke.
I did
joke.
Not make a bombing joke.
Not.
I made a joke at you. I said, try to finish this year or at least beat Christie.
Oh, wow.
That was not, a shot yeah. at Andy, not at the bombing.
I have it flagged in my email. So I'll get to
not
it.
Not to revisit a sad day, but apparently that left more of a mark on my wife than I knew, if we're just going to go back to that.
She doesn't
day
want
for
you
moment.
To do it again?
Well, she thinks it's fine that I want to and want to do it, but she started crying the other night. We were talking about it because, and she hadn't expressed this to me before, the first bomb went off further away from them, and then the second bomb went off closer to them, like 250 feet away. And in her mind, she never revealed this to me before, she thought they were just going to continue to be a series of them.
Right.
And they were working like 50 feet closer sure. every time, and it was only a matter of time before. And she literally thought she was going to die.
Wow.
This
well,
is the first time she ever
I can
expressed
understand
that.
I can certainly understand that.
Yeah. She never
at
expressed
the time,
it to me before.
But I think a lot of people probably thought
because she's
that,
like, you know, yeah.
That's
yeah.
two
and
of how many.
And when she did yesterday, you probably laughed at her.
No, I'm going to give him. Oh, I almost
I
gave,
didn't laugh.
I, almost
I didn't
gave,
laugh.
I almost gave him credit. I was ready to give him credit, and he has this look on his face like,
well, what do you mean by
was
laugh?
Inappropriate.
I think I kind of said no. I think I
by laugh.
Well, I think I kind
of
went.
Oh, what's the definition of that? Is?
I think I gave her an. Oh, come on.
No, hey,
really?
I think I did.
Wow. You're supposed to be supportive and.
Well, I didn't know it. First of all, it caught me off
empathy
guard because I thought
his strong.
I
point.
I thought we were
humanity.
All past it. The kids were past it. I
decency.
Thought she was past
right.
it. And now she's talking about because I'm training. Well, going and what it's going to be like and. And then she
so
said
what
that.
Was it like in that locker room today?
Yeah, Eric and yeah, Andy
empty.
Are back as you
well,
have
it's they're all
probably
hurt.
Already surmised.
It was empty.
It was.
I see what you did there.
It was. I mean,
yeah, we had Gregory, Hightower
late. Oh, surprise, yeah. Hightower late. Yeah,
DJ Williams.
DJ Williams.
Maybe
good
do
line.
A story on Hightower.
Tell him the Spanish line. I didn't hear it exactly, so I don't know exactly.
He said so, they were asking about the lingo and the language, and he basically said it's like Spanish. If you find a hot Spanish girl, then you learn the language quickly because you want to talk to her. So basically saying he found a hot offense that he wants to be a part of, so he's going to learn the language quickly.
Yeah.
It was a good line. And I was thinking for Martin Morales, that's gold.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean,
and he was there today, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was in there. Gostkowski was there. Slater was there. He did a lot of one-on-ones. Gostkowski did a bunch of one-on-ones.
Yep. Other than that,
Slim Pickens.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So Braxton Cave was in there.
Yeah.
And Gostkowski was in there Brady was in there giving Gostkowski a hard time, mocking his onside kick.
Now, we've all been around this team for quite a while, enough where we've seen the different faces of the Patriots. We've seen, you know, the week before where the Patriots are really loose and we're like, oh, that's good. They're feeling good.
Yep.
We've seen in the middle, and then we've also seen weeks like this where no one's available.
Mm-hmm.
What do you read out of that? We're only Wednesday.
Much
so that
like
could
all
change.
The different scenarios you just unfolded. For me personally, nothing.
They've won and lost,
you're
dominated and
you
been dominated
no
in all
fun.
The. Well, not been dominated too many
no,
times.
No, I find it very fun.
I certainly don't
when
think
people
that
try
a team
to take those things and think it means something. I think that's very fun.
Well,
because you laugh at everyone, you look down on everyone.
No, just you.
Maybe you think you're better than
maybe
them.
Just you.
You think you're better than us.
Just you, not us.
Yeah.
Don't put them in your category. Yeah. Just you.
Maybe you don't read into what they're doing, but or not doing by talking to us or not talking to us. But I don't get the feeling that this is a team that feels overly confident about itself.
How could they be?
Well, that's my point. But there are some years, like Fred said, when they do go around in the locker room, and it is a very much more loud, and even at practice sometimes they're joking around in a very loud way. Like they're not ashamed to be showing that they have a lighter side. And I think in those cases, those have been years when they have felt like they are a good team and a better team than the opponent that's coming up.
Well, I don't
up.
Even know about season. I'm talking week to week. Sometimes you see changes.
Yeah, oh, certainly. Yeah.
And
depending on the magnitude
of the game. This is not a week
for
them to be confident.
No, it
this is
be.
A week where they're figuring out who and what they are and what they're doing and roles and all that. It's all up in the air.
Well,
and the
last not overtly confident, but you think that they might be hunkering down and like, you know.
I think they're concerned about, you know, I mean, it's this late in the year and they've had to win games by coming back from double-digit points. And
too often.
And they've lost a game.
With Gronkowski.
Right. I just don't think that they feel very good about themselves.
And it doesn't mean, because you're realistic, does not mean you lack confidence. I mean, you can be a realist and say,
sure,
we've been in tight games, we lost one of our best offensive players, we need to tighten things up, we need to play better, we need to do whatever. I mean, I don't think that means you can't win or you've lost your edge.
So do you think that attitude that you just talked about would result in maybe not being out there in the locker room, is what I'm saying.
Potentially.
You think, in other words, today's lack of, you know, access, do you think it's a result of anything or it just happens?
No,
it happens.
I think it happens also at this time of year anyway.
Yeah, it does.
It gets to be there gets to be a point in the year where they're tired of saying the same old things, we're tired of asking the same old things, but, you know, the season's long. It's a grind.
And don't discount the amount of young guys that probably don't want to be asked questions about
the
Gronkowski.
Number of veterans who would be striking are gone.
Oh, and by the way,
it's a good point.
For the fourth day in a row that we've had access, Stephen Ridley said,
yeah,
no thanks.
Yeah.
He was really apologetic to me when he said no thanks post.
Oh, really?
Really. Like, I started to walk away, and he almost said, no, I can't. Like, and then I started to walk.
Really?
And I'm like, I'm walking away. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
But
We're okay here.
But he said, I can't.
But I don't know what that meant. He just,
it could have meant, like, I don't have the will to do it.
Yeah,
I
just, not what I need to be doing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder.
Did you?
I wondered too, though. That's a good point.
Well, I wouldn't be letting him talk, necessarily. Nothing comes from him continuing to talk about, fixate on, and discuss his fumbles.
Right.
It comes from doing. And so I don't think that he's done that. He's proven he's a stand-up guy. Now he can move on and just
prove he can
play.
I have a lot of respect
play.
For him talking, you know, after good and bad.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for him.
He has.
I
mean, you know, that makes me kind of wonder with you, Paul, that maybe he's been.
Yeah, I wonder.
Maybe
I
he can't because he's not allowed to.
Yeah. It's not the best thing for
not
you.
The best
try
thing
to stay
do.
Away from the media.
Yeah, you don't need to be discussing your fumbling issues every week and every
paper. Try to stay away from the media.
I have a couple of notes from practice, Fred, before you get to the phones. Bad news for Nate Solder.
Maybe.
He wasn't there, and I don't recall that he got injured in the game at all. And, you know, it could very well not be an injury-related reason.
That's what
we've
I'm
seen
guessing.
That of late. But he wasn't there.
And Aaron Dobson remains out. The last time we saw him was Sunday in the press box, actually, with a boot on his left foot.
Boot. We had a question about Kenbrell Tompkins. Was he out there?
He was. Yep. Just Solder and Dobson were absent, which means Cannon and Brandon Bolden, who was a non-injury-related absence from practice last Friday and inactive for the game, was also back out there. Tompkins was out there taking part.
Okay, they getting did, healthier.
And one little note about the tight ends because of Gronk now not being a factor anymore. Who, man? Remember last week I was telling you they were doing the ball protection drill. They ran over the bags, gauntlet style, and he couldn't hop when they were. They did the running first, and then they would hop. He couldn't hop. This today, they ran through, and then the second time they hopped, and he hopped both.
Who-man hopped.
Who-man hopped.
Dr. Yes. Help here.
So
the Who-man hop.
Just a small thing.
Either a 50s dance or a Dr. Seuss book.
It's a small thing, but it's a sign.
What say you?
Who-man here's
it's a it's a positive sign for him in his rehab.
Okay, good.
I had another note out of the locker room. Oh, the Bolden thing.
The Bolden thing.
Are we not to assume that he was in some trouble? Given a day off without injury on a Friday, and then you're inactive on a Sunday.
Well, here's a possibility.
Rarely are people given days off reason on a Friday.
Here's a possibility, and we saw it with a significant player I can't remember off the top of my head now, had a funeral in the family. Oh, it was Welker.
Right.
A couple of years ago, Welker missed a practice on a week when he was also, I think, injured. And there was a lot of speculation about, you know. Right.
His dad.
And it lingered in a weird way, too.
Right. He was limited.
Before and after.
Because he was also hurt.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he was out for like 3 straight weeks.
That's right.
And we were like, is this all because of a death in the family?
I just found it weird that he was a healthy scratch a couple days after he was a strange, not injury related absence on a Friday.
We brought it up on the pregame social.
A family thing.
Something feels a little stinky there.
We brought it up in the pregame social, and it did sort of reek of some sort of discipline to me.
Late gate.
Like he was late getting here or something, and then, you know, Bill said, you know what? You're sitting out.
Yeah. Yep.
Just go home.
We've come too far to deal with that nonsense. let's see. Matt's in California. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I got three quick teams. And also, plus, Kevin, that was a great opening yesterday. It was great. I just want to get three quick teams in here. So I was watching a really god-awful show on ESPN. It was called, I think, First Take. One was Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. You guys know?
Yep. First Take, yep.
Yeah, Skip Bayless said something that it was kind of genius. It was a little iffy, but it can make sense. But he said that, like, the Patriots are a team of destiny. They have, like, that Auburn-type feel. Do you guys feel that this team, even though they've been all their injuries and they've done everything, that they can, like, they have that destiny kind of, like, even though all they've been through, they can still go through it?
I do.
You guys don't really feel that.
No, I do think that they have a little of that destiny thing. I had mentioned that was one of the things, you know, during Fred's, when Fred and I were arguing, that was one of the things that sort of gives me pause for my argument is that, you know, sometimes you win games like this and it's just kind of meant to be. I don't know if it's sustainable, and Fred and I both talked about that. I don't know how many times you can keep winning games like this, but you sort of wonder, is there something special going on with this team?
Yes, and I'm also wondering two more things. And I was wondering, because Boyce, like, in Alvarez, from what we've seen so far, like in practice, is he a playmaker? Can he be a playmaking type player? Like Vereen, because the way I see his body type and the way he moves, he's fast. He's like a Percy Harvin type of player. If he can make plays.
Is that Boyce you're talking about?
Yeah, Boyce. Josh Boyce.
Yeah, he has that history in college, and he has the speed to be that. I don't know that we've seen a ton of it, really. A little bit in the preseason, but I certainly think he has that potential. We just haven't seen a lot of it. We don't see practice now.
Playmakers and all that stuff. Yeah, he can be a playmaker.
Yeah, we added him to our list of potential post-Gronk, maybe sneaky playmaking surprises you could get down the stretch here.
Yeah, and just one more thing. I was about Amendola and Brady, because Brady just looks like he does not trust him. Like, he trusts him like rookie receivers. It just looks like, even though he's not exposed when we first came with that bad going, he just looks like, because when he gets, even when he does get open, he does not pass it to him. He's like, you're not my guy, which he needs to be. He's seen that increases, or it has to increase, or he still just looks at him and just still doesn't look at him at his way, because I've seen him play. He can play. He's really good.
I don't get that sense at all. I mean, I know Amendola hasn't been as much of a factor as, say, Edelman has been in recent games. But, I mean, who did he go to on the touchdown to win the game?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, and he's gone to Amendola in several clutch situations, and he's come through. It's not like Amendola has done anything, like had some egregious, you know, drops or.
I think all Amendola has done all year is tear his groin and then lose his spark. Like, he can still catch the ball. He hasn't, like, he's dropped a ton of balls and proven I can't do anything. I think Brady knows he's a limited athlete out there.
Yeah. He's
just
open.
Not getting the separation.
Yeah, he just hasn't been open.
Right. And that's no. I give Amendola credit for he's playing on he's gotten one or no legs or whatever.
He's gotten it out. I don't expect him to be making a lot of dynamic plays.
No. But when you're talking about a one-yard touchdown, and he needed somebody to rely on.
I know, by the way, not wide open on that
play. No, but Brady threw it to him and said, I don't need you to make a dynamic play. I just need you to catch the football a yard over the
Clearly, that was a predetermined read. He just re-rolled out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brady never rolls out.
Right.
So you knew that that was the only place that was going, and if it wasn't open, he was going
to
throw it away.
Certainly not to a guy he didn't count on, he couldn't trust or had some ill feeling towards.
Paul, you know the answer to this.
Reggie Lewis.
Name the only two players in the NFL history that have had, in the same season, 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving.
Reggie Bush.
Rushing and receiving.
That's incorrect.
Roger Craig, 49ers.
Correct. That's one.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Incorrect.
Marshall Faulk.
Craig and Marshall Faulk. Paul knew it right away.
I didn't know if there were any more.
Bush
Marshall Faulk as a Ram or as a Colt?
I don't know. Ram. It was in 1999.
Ram.
Fastest show.
So that's according to Brian in Essex, Vermont. Craig
what is
had,
the what? What did I miss? Is this
someone wrote in saying you would think that Shane Vereen can do that?
I said no.
Can?
Not this year.
I don't think he's capable of rushing for 1,000.
I think he has an outside shot of doing it. He certainly will not be doing it on this offense as currently constituted. It would have to be within the confines of an offense that adds some playmakers or greatly improves at the receiving position.
All right. Well,
his running is not going to come as like the lead dog kind of character.
That's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It was a lively show.
Like
thanks to Paul and his stubbornness.
Good job, Freddie.
We will be back tomorrow with picks and wrapping up. We'll really dive into the whole Miami thing, whether or not they're going to win.
This is the song, Fred.
Is John Rook
you've never heard
next?
This? He's here. He's on his way.
Okay, John Rook's on his way.
He's here. He's on his way.
Yeah. The answer is no.
Randolph.
Right.
Freddie. Remember
right,
Randolph?
Right.
You got
Randolph.
Those must stops? Yeah. I just got
to
finish them.
Okay, so you're not done. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good song.
No, I ain't much of a poet, but I know somebody once told me to seize the moment and don't squander it. Cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow, so I keep conjuring. Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts come from. Yeah, ponder it, do you want? There's no point if you're losing your mind, I really want it. I think you've been wandering off down yonder and stumbled on the Japan quadrant. Cause I need an interventionist to intervene between me and this monster and save me from myself.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.